All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. And we are here. It's Wednesday. That means Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? And that's that's when you request your stuff, get it in now. It's any artist, any song, anything. Gets a little weird on Wednesday because it's Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a few minutes, right after the 1:30 news, our good friend Kevin Powell is going to join us. He's from WGN Sports here on the station, and he reports the sports on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantes weekday afternoons. And you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720 and subscribe to his podcast, Powell at the Park. We'll get Kevin in here. We talk to Kevin usually about once a month. Lots of sports stuff to talk about, and we'll cover the sports with Kevin Powell. That's after 1:30. We are also going to talk about five things that our body does that are annoying, and we are also going to talk about simple things that we just can't master. So some behavior body stuff that we're going to jump into. And we love tough people in movies, toughest characters in movies. So we're going to talk about the toughest characters in movies. That's all coming up. If at any time you want to jump in at 312-981-7200 for talk and text and for your Wildcard Wednesday requests, 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us right now. Everything that's happening on the show is happening on the Facebook page. So that's one of the many, many reasons you should like our Facebook page and follow us right now at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Our podcasts are always available, too. Every single second of every single show is in podcast form in the morning, and you can subscribe at iTunes or any place where you get podcasts, and it's automatically will be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. We have a ton of people who listen via podcast, and we really thank you for that. So you can also go to WGNradio.com, check out our podcast, subscribe now. So that's what's coming up on the show. 312-981-7200, again, is the phone number. And it's Wednesday morning. So let's say hello to the guys I work with on these mornings. My great producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
I am feeling very proud, very happy on this Wednesday morning.
Because?
Because yesterday, my longtime girlfriend of almost 7 years got her master's degree.
Wow.
Yes, from the Loyola University of Chicago.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And it's in what?
Is in developmental psychology. So she studies how kids learn and how they develop and grow as thinking people.
Wow. Look, the big brain on her.
I know. I lucked out. I really did.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, congratulations to her. What's her name?
Her name is Lauren.
Lauren. Okay. All right. Well, good for her, man. Congratulations on that. That's a nice celebration, and that's very, very cool. All right. And let's go into the newsroom, and it's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, Nick.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay, man. I'm okay.
Yeah?
I'd be a little nervous if that was my girlfriend, because I'd be wondering if she's reverse engineering all the things that are wrong with
me. Yeah.
You know? I once showed her some old, you know, reports from like preschool, you know, how the teachers would tell how you're doing in class and all that kind of stuff. And she just looked at him and was kind of like, oh, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
that's a little scary right there. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. That's great news. That's fantastic. So, Vic, you didn't get to see any of the Cub game.
No, I slept most of the afternoon hours, and then I was listening to Don Kleppen get excited. He was at the anchor desk while I was writing for the 11. So,
oh, I see. Well,
that's how I found out about him, Brian's walk off.
I was watching North by Northwest at my screening, and we had a really nice turnout for North by Northwest.
Yeah, that's what you were
real
saying.
Big crowd and a very enthusiastic crowd. And you know what? I don't know if you guys know this or not. That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I mean, there are times, and I'm just such a I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm such a wuss that. There are times when I watch something really, really good, and even if it's not sad or way joyful, I can cry. I cried twice watching North by Northwest last night because seeing it on the big screen, the way it was meant to be seen in Technicolor VistaVision with top-notch digital projection and sound in a beautiful theater with a big crowd of people who were very happy to be there. I cried during the crop dusting scene because it's just ridiculously beautiful and so good. And just watching it with a crowd in a movie theater on the big screen, I was like, this is beautiful. And the Mount Rushmore, the ending at Mount Rushmore is just, it's incredible. And I get teary-eyed. I remember when I was with a girl that I was in love with, Cheeto Fingers girl.
Ah, Cheeto Fingers.
I was with her. And we were at the Music Box Theater. This was many years ago. We were at the Music Box Theater, which is one of my favorite places in the world to see a movie. And we were seeing a re-release on the big screen in 35 millimeter of Sunset Boulevard. And I lost it during that. It was just kind of like an overwhelming experience. I'm with this girl that I'm in love with. I'm in one of my favorite places on earth. I'm watching one of the greatest movies ever made on the big screen. And I just got overwhelmed by it. And I did last night watching North by Northwest. I know I sound like an idiot, but
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
I hate to cry, but I've heard from plenty of people there's nothing wrong with crying at movies.
Yeah, well,
if it moves you, that's great.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, the crop duster attack in North by Northwest is not meant to make you cry. It's not meant to make you cry.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And neither is the Mount Rushmore sequence. They're both like just really tense, beautiful suspense sequences that are not trying to make you happy with joy or make you sad. But I was just enjoying it so much. I was enjoying the movie so much, just the art of the movie. And because I get overwhelmed when I see a movie that is so beautifully made and so great, that it just I don't know. It just overwhelms me. I'm just a big movie fan. I'm a dork.
Well, that my opinion, that's a beautiful thing to me, to be able to consume something like that, someone else's art, and let it move you in that way that much.
I'm sitting next to my parents. You know what I mean? Like I'm with my folks are sitting next to me, and they're having a great time watching the movie.
Your dad's nudging your mom. Nick's crying again.
And, you know, there are a lot of repeat customers who come back every month to my film club, and it's really gratifying. And I was just happy to be in a room full of people who listen to the show, and a bunch of people who've never seen the movie before, and just you know, regulars who come every month to the film club. It's just a lot of fun. Next month we're doing Ghostbusters on June 11th. Next month we're doing Ghostbusters, and it's the 35th anniversary for people who want to feel like they're 90. We're celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters, and there's going to be some fun specials at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is right down the street. We've partnered with them now for the past few months so that my film club members can go and have dinner before the movie and get 15% off all of their food. But we're also going to have that deal for next month in June, on June 11th when we show Ghostbusters. We're going to have that deal as well as other specials that tie in with Ghostbusters, because obviously Bill Murray's in Ghostbusters, and that ties in with our partnership with that restaurant right down the street, the Caddyshack restaurant. It's just a lot of fun. And last night we had such a great crowd, and I guess our first caller was there. Hello, Sue.
Hi. Hi, Nick. Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just really had to call in again. You and everyone does all of you do just such a terrific job, and it's just terrific the relationship you have with your folks and everything. And anyway, I just want to say just enjoyed that so much, and, yeah, was able to see it on the big screen. And, you know, I just wanted to say, too, that I knew there was some sort of relationship. I grew up in River Forest next door to Oak Park, and there was some, like, relationship with Frank Lloyd Wright or the design of that house. And so I was like, when I got back home, just checked the facts, and that, no, the house, of course, is not real, doesn't exist, but
right.
that it was built in the style of Wright. And you know that. And
yeah.
That
the house that you're talking about at the climax by Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I love that. And basically, more or less, also based on his design for Falling Water.
Ah, interesting.
And also that a lot of the windows did not have glass in it because at the time it would have reflected the film crew and so on.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw a few of those facts in there and again say thanks for all the work you do.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Sue, thank you so much for coming out. Was tonight your first night?
No, it was the second time.
Oh.
And I'll definitely be there for Ghostbusters.
Okay. What was the last one? What was the first one that you went to?
The last one was the... the other Hitchcock film.
Oh, Man Who Knew Too Much.
Yes, thank you, The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Oh, great.
Exactly. And I brought my grandfather. He had never seen those films before, and I'd seen them when I was a little kid, and he just really, really enjoyed that, too.
Oh, well, I'm glad you came out, Sue. Thanks. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Sue,
bye-bye.
Take care. There you go. That's fun. That's gratifying. People coming out having a good time watching some Hitchcock on the big screen on a Tuesday night. Then we have a fun chat afterwards. I talk about some trivia stuff and some making of stuff. And again, once again, we'll do it. Tickets are on sale right now if you want to get your seats for Ghostbusters. It's on Tuesday, June 11th at the AMC Rosemont 18. $10 to get in. Parking is free. Reserve your seats right now at amctheaters.com. amctheaters.com. Reserve your seats now, June 11th, for the 35th anniversary screening of Ghostbusters, and make sure you check out Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which will have 15% off as regular, and then some Ghostbuster specials that they're going to do for us in honor of the screening. All right. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You know, a couple of weeks ago, did you see this story, Vic, about the restaurant that replaces bread with pickles for its sandwich, so it uses a big pickle as instead of bread?
Sounds like something Genie would eat.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's a pretty cool idea. And I pulled this story a couple of weeks ago because it broke a couple of weeks ago. I pulled this story. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this restaurant and if people would eat sandwiches instead of bread, pickle. So we'll jump into that. And then after 1:30, after the news, Kevin Powell's going to join us to talk sports. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. Kevin Powell from WGN Sports is going to join us. He joins us monthly, usually, to talk about sports. Lots of sports to talk about, and he'll join us after the 1:30 news. A couple of weeks ago, this story broke, and they wrote about it online. And never has been in a pickle been such a good thing. Elsie's is a sandwich shop located about 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia, in Haddon Township, New Jersey, uses pickles instead of bread for its sandwiches. Its website boasts that the restaurant, which has only been open for a couple of months, is the home of the pickle sandwich. There is no bread in the house at all. Catherine Cohen, who co-owns Elsie with husband Chad Jordan, told Today Food. The pickle, which is scooped out, operates the same way that bread does in a sandwich, placed on either side of the meats and toppings. Cohen, who estimated they go through about 300 pickles per day, said that she uses kosher dill pickles, although they do offer spicy ones on occasion. On average, our pickles are about 7 inches, while noting that they come from a proprietary recipe. My husband and I created the sandwich. Cohen said, adding that the idea dates back to 2015 at a different eatery operated by the family. We resurrected a family pickle sandwich recipe. And the sandwiches look fantastic. And I happen to be a really big pickle guy. I love pickles. And I would totally eat the hell out of this thing. And they're nice big pickles, too. So we started at pop-up events. The response was really good. We would sell out in about 30 minutes. Cohen said two sandwiches in particular have proven to be crowd favorites. The Italian, which features ham, capicola, salami, and provolone, is joined by the homage to Katz. Katz's Deli, which is the best deli in the world, which comes with turkey breast, corned beef, Swiss cheese, Thousand Island dressing, coleslaw, and the restaurant's popular items. So those are the ones that you can go with. But if the pickle sandwich isn't your thing, you can also try Elsie's roll-ups, which feature pickles or cucumbers rolled up around the meats. pickles have recently enjoyed a healthy second life, free from the traditional roll as a side item. They've been placed on pizza, served as a substitute for jelly on the traditional PB&J. They have been made into a slush flavor. They've reinvented it into a fried chicken flavor and even turned into beer and soda. The pickle renaissance is in full swing at Elsie's, where business is booming, thanks in part to loyal fans who have taken to the unique take on sandwiches. We have a very solid social media following on Facebook and online. If you want to go, they're only open Tuesday through Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., so it's just a lunch joint. And so it's limited hours, and there you go. So the locals know to come early to avoid the line before it gets mobbed, the place gets mobbed. So there it is, Elsie's in New Jersey. No bread, pickles.
Best way to be.
I'm approved. I approve. All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up right after this.
Just one look at you, and I know it's going to be a lovely day.
Everybody, how you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday. That means Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are going to play a round of Know Your Onion later on, so you'll get a chance to win a prize if you can tell a real headline from a fake comedy onion news headline. And the news is so weird now, it could go either way. Tom, as you're going to be your host for that. We're also going to talk about some things that your body does that are annoying and some basic things that we just can't seem to master. And we'll go through some of that stuff and the toughest movie characters of all time. So we're going to get into all of that coming up right here on 720 WGN. But first, as you know, when you hear Bill Withers on this show, it can mean only one thing: Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell's from WGN Sports. He does sports on the Rokan show with Ana DeVellantes on weekdays and afternoon drive. You can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720, KPowell720. And he joins us usually once a month or so to talk sports. Lots of sports stuff to talk about with Kevin. So let's get our buddy back in here. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Nick, I've missed you. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my man. How you been?
Couldn't be better. Baseball season's, in full go, and a lot to talk about. So yeah. It's a good time of year.
Well, first, before we do that, let's talk about Powell at the Park. That's your podcast. Tell everybody about some of the more recent episodes that they can download and listen to.
Yeah, fresh one was posted last week. White Sox and Cubs talk, as always, on every episode of the Powell at the Park podcast. So last week was a lot about Luis Robert, the White Sox, one of their top prospects, at least offensively. He's an outfielder for the Sox, got promoted to Double-A after basically completely tearing it up in Single-A in the Carolina League. He led in just about every offensive category. So we talk a little bit about that. We talk about Addison Russell, who remains down in Iowa despite being eligible to come off to be back in the majors. But the Cubs decided to keep him down in Iowa, almost sort of like an extended spring training, because he spent a week down in Iowa. before he could be brought back to the big league club, but the Cubs decided to keep him down there. So those are a couple things we touched on and just kind of recap the first month of the season for each team in town.
All right. Well, very cool. And people can check that out at WGNRadio.com and WGN Radio Plus, and any place where you can get your podcast, you can subscribe and keep up with that. So very, very cool. All right, Kevin. Well, yeah. you mentioned baseball season. Let's talk about the Cubs, man. Interesting stretch for these guys. I think the last time that we were on, they were under 500. And I know they had a 1-6 start this season, and then they went on a tear. Very disappointing game on Monday night. So let's just talk about what happened a few hours ago. KB, who's on fire, is swinging the bat like a maniac now, wins with a walk-off home run in the ninth.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild scene. And look, this is a huge relief for the Cubs and Cub fans and for Chris Bryant, who really just hadn't been his MVP-type self over the past, year and a half, because he's dealt with some lingering injuries and he hasn't played to the ability that we know Chris Bryant can play to, which is one of the best players in all of baseball. We saw it for the first couple, 2-3 years of his career.
Yeah.
Had the nagging shoulder injury, and he told us last night after the walk-off homer that he feels dialed in, and that should be music to Cubs Nation's ears, because it's kind of felt like a while since we've seen that now. He's homered in a few straight games, of course, the walk-off Tuesday night as well. And he says he just feels dialed in right now. Chris Bryant's never really been a guy to overly analyze his mechanics. I mean, I remember when he was, his MVP season, we would ask him about certain things, and he goes, look, I just try to go out there and play. I don't try to overthink things.
Yeah.
And when you have an injury, obviously that's going to make you overthink things. So he appears to be pretty comfortable at the plate. I think he's reached base in 13 or 14 consecutive games. So that's huge for the Cubs right now. And, yeah, they're rolling, Nick. They won 8 of 9. They've gone from 1-6 to first place.
Yeah.
They're on top of the NL Central right now.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch them. And I will say this. Lester pitched well. The starting pitching has been really, really good, and the bullpen was good up until Monday night. But it's been great to watch this team bounce back, and a lot of guys are hot right now. Contreras is on fire as well. Rizzo's hitting well. I mean, that middle part of the lineup. Of course, Baez is just having a ridiculous year, but that middle part of the lineup, man. I mean, that's a murderer's row, man.
No question about it, and this is what we had seen from the Cubs for a while. Last year, a lot of guys underperformed, and injuries didn't help. I mean, just a couple of years ago, Wilson Contreras, through the first couple months of the season, was right there in the MVP race, and then he pulled a hamstring in San Francisco, and things kind of slowed down from there. But Wilson Contreras is on fire. Rizzo's playing well. They're getting production basically from just about everybody right now, and everything's clicking. Their pitching staff over the past few weeks has the best ERA in all of baseball, and it's really not even close. I know you mentioned Monday night's blow up in the ninth, but I mean, really, John Lester has pitched in 6 games this year. Remember, he missed about a month because of a hamstring injury. He's given up just 5 earned runs over 6 starts.
Yeah. Nick,
he's got an ERA below 2. So Lester's been outstanding. I mean, just about everybody is playing well right now.
Well, and Kendrick's performance on Friday was unbelievable.
I mean, Maddox-esque, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what everybody was comparing?
Yeah, only
81 pitches,
81
complete
pitches.
Game.
Crazy.
Yeah, his command was there. And I mean, he's the professor, right? When he's on and he's got his command on, he's I love watching him pitch, because he's obviously he's not one of these overpowering pitchers, but neither was Maddox. It was a guy that relied on a 2-seam changeup, off speed type stuff, and then precise command. And when Hendricks has that on, speaks for itself. 81
yeah.
pitches to get through 9 innings.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
It was a great stretch there to watch the Cubs. And again, Monday night was a heartbreaker, but hey, they're back on top after last night. Played a great game and won in very dramatic fashion. And now it's just a question of whether we're going to be able to get the next game in because of the weather. Next couple of days are going to be kind of iffy.
Much of the talk in the press box is everybody becomes a Tom Skilling in the press box, because every reporter wants to know, are we working on Wednesday? Are we going to have a doubleheader Thursday? What are we going to have? And yeah, who knows? We could have a doubleheader Thursday. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's talk about that grand slam by Taylor Davis. How great was that?
An amazing moment. I mean, look, he'll even admit to it. I'm not knocking the guy, but if you were walking through the Cubs clubhouse, you'd figure he was just a, sort of a clubhouse tenant and maybe a guy kind of helping out organize things in the clubhouse. It's the guy's 5'8", 5'9". He's a stout fella, and he's just battled through his career and was kind of overlooked because of his size, and probably a lot of scouts didn't think he had the upside of a lot of other pro guys. But, man, to Teddy Greenside had a really great story in the Tribune about you know, his parents and what they've meant to him and their reaction to the whole thing, and just a special moment for Taylor Davis to hit a grand slam homer to tie the game up. And this is a guy who you probably would never project ever making a big league club. And, you know, he made the roster, he made the team, I think in 2017 he made his big league debut with the Cubs. He spent some time last year as well. And then to have that moment, his parents said they were speechless and they couldn't believe it and they went numb when it happened. It's a really great story.
Yeah, it is a great story. And there have been a lot of great stories associated with the Cubs season so far this year. It's been just to see this swing back for these guys has just been great. And as you know, as a lifelong Cub fan, it's been a lot of fun to watch these guys. And I wish I could have seen the game last night. I hosted a screening of North by Northwest, the Alfred Hitchcock movie. So we were watching that while KB did the dramatic you know, the home run for the win and the walk off.
Yeah, it was about 30 degrees at Wrigley.
Yeah.
And maybe even the real feels might have been even lower than that. And as Cub fans for you, man, there was Wrigley was still had a good amount of fans still hanging out for a three and a half hour ball game, and they were rewarded with a Chris Bryant bomb for the winner. So
yeah.
pretty great moment for KB and the Cubs.
No question about it. I will say this: I had heard that when a post game interview, they asked Bryant about the home run. He's like, "Look, I'm not going to lie to you. It was really cold outside, and I know nobody else wanted to be there, and nobody wanted to do an extra innings. Nobody wanted to play extra innings, so I just went up there and said, we got to win this game. Get the hell out of here."
Right. So easy peasy. Just pull them in the left field bleachers and call it a night.
Exactly. All right, Kevin, hang on, man.
You got it.
All right, Kevin Powell is with us. You can hear him doing sports every weekday afternoon on the Rokan Show with Adam DeVlantes, and you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. KPowell720, and subscribe to his podcast, the Powell at the Park podcast. Always very cool to talk to Kevin. We'll talk more sports after this on 720 WGN.
My friend is feel as they're appointed duty.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, man, well card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. As you just heard, that was Bill Withers, which of course means that Kevin Powell is with us. Kevin does the sports here at WGN on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, and you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And we got more sports to talk about with Kevin. Kevin, welcome back, man.
Thanks again, Nick. Always love talking to you.
All right, buddy. Let's get into some White Sox. Sox on a bit of a roll here.
Yeah, they were. They had won 5 of 6 heading into the weekend against Boston, and then they ended up losing the last three of the series. But they bounced back with a couple big wins against Cleveland. And the big thing for the Sox has been starting pitching, which hasn't really been great. You know, the 12 games going into Sunday, I think the ERA from the starting staff was like an 8.54, and that's already been lowered by a couple runs because Ivan Nova had a really good start Monday. And then Lucas Giolito, who had missed a couple starts with a hamstring injury, this was his second start since returning from the injury, was outstanding. He's 7 1/3, just one run. And the Sox held the Indians scoreless, 2-0. So that's a good sign. You know, the thing with the Sox is, you know, talking to some other reporters, how, you know, a little over a month into the season, and how much more watchable and interesting they've become this year compared to last year, mm-hmm. which was really kind of the bottom of the barrel for this rebuild, where now you're really starting to see some flashes of what's certain players can do and what this team can be. Tim Anderson's having an all-star type year. Yoel Moncada at third base, who's had a big few days recently. You know, he could be in the conversation to be an all-star as well. And those are guys that really matter. They're a part of the core. They're a part of this young core. that matters for the long-term rebuild. So to see them play well is big. It's really important as well. And you've seen some flashes from other guys as well. They're really close. You can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which I think is encouraging for the Sox.
Yeah,
the
Sox fans seem to be pretty pleased with what's happening right now, knowing going into this season that it was going to be kind of, you know, rebuilding and they weren't going to vie for postseason or anything like that.
Yeah, it's the next step. You want to see more wins, and I think they're definitely going to finish with more wins than they had last year. I don't think there's any question about it. Plus, Eloy Jimenez has missed some time with an ankle injury, and he showed he could hang in the bigs after never playing in the majors before, and he looked all right. So you're also going to see Dylan Cease down the road. But again, there have been some flashes, and of course there have been some frustrating moments because, again, it is a rebuild, but Jose Abreu is locked in. He doesn't look like he's slowing down, and although he's a 33-year-old veteran, 34, whatever he is, he looks like he can still be around when this team's ready to contend for a championship. It's been an interesting sort of roller coaster for Sox and for Sox fans, but I think there's been some really encouraging signs from the team this year.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, have you been keeping up with the NHL playoffs here?
I just miss the Blackhawks being in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Nick, because watching some of these games, these high-intensity games, yeah. I'm like, I miss you miss them, but you watching these teams, you can almost feel for the fan base because you're like, one, that's awesome that you get to watch your team, but also it's miserable because there's no playoffs like Stanley Cup playoffs. You are on the edge of your seat the entire game.
Yep.
And there's been some wild ones, as there is every single year, Nick.
Every year. And no kidding, last night, in fact, St. Louis in double overtime, another Game 7. And there's nothing quite like a Game 7 and a Game 7 that goes into double overtime.
I gotta figure you were not rooting for the Blues. Nick.
No, I was not. I was rooting for Dallas, actually. So
I think most Hawks fans were. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But it, they still you still can't get a drink in St. Louis though because they don't have any cups. So
that teed up, Nick. Oh, well,
yeah,
done.
Yeah. I've done that one countless times, man. That's one of my go-tos when I want to slam the Blues. Let's talk a little about Bulls real quick. What do you think is going to happen with them next season? Have they talked about anything? Is the head coach going to get a contact extension, or he did?
Yeah, he did get an extension that's going to run. They haven't necessarily officially said how long, but some reports said through 21-22. Whatever. I don't think it's really they're coming off a really bad year, so a lot of people are scratching their head. Why would you give him the extension? The reality is if it doesn't work out next year and it's a disaster, you can just move on from him. A lot of what happens next year depends on what happens in the NBA draft lottery, which is coming up. Now, if the Bulls land the top overall pick, they have a 13-14% chance of landing that, then they're probably going to go with Zion Williamson from Duke, who's this phenom. That changes the trajectory of next season. There's also a point guard named Ja Morant out of a smaller school, Murray State, but those are going to be the top two picks. And if the Bulls land into one of the top two picks, it makes them a whole lot more interesting. And I think they're going to be a lot more interesting regardless after this draft. But those are the top two. So
yeah.
If there's ever a time to get excited about an NBA draft lottery, it's this year. I know the Derek Rose year was the last time Bulls fans were really, really excited about it. But, things can really change with this lottery.
Yeah. By the way, sad news, though. I mean, disappointing news, but considering how they played, it's the lowest local TV ratings for the Bulls in 13 years.
Yeah, not that surprising. And one, they didn't play well. And two, a lot of the starters and the core guys that you're trying to rebuild with missed a lot of games.
Yeah,
I mean, there were a handful of games down the stretch where Zach LaVine wasn't playing. Otto Porter wasn't playing. Lowry Market wasn't playing. And, look, support your local team, but it was sort of like, what's the point? I mean, we know most of you guys aren't really going to factor into it. So, yeah, kind of a bummer there, but can only go up, I guess. That's me being optimistic for you, Nick.
Where everybody is looking forward to the Bears season this year, no question about it, after a surprising, great season last year. Ended on a sour note, but still a really, really great, exciting season, and everybody thinks it's going to be great. And they did bring in an actual kicker, like someone who can kick without doinking.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Well, they had brought eight kickers in for tryouts over the past weekend. Only two of them made the cut, and then they made a trade with the Raiders for a guy named Eddie Pinheiro, who came out of Florida. He kicked for the Gators in college and made 94% of his kicks his final year there. Was signed as an undrafted free agent last year by the Raiders, got injured, missed the entire season with a groin injury. So I think it's a low-risk, high-reward type thing, and I appreciate what the Bears are doing. They're acknowledging it. They're hitting it right square in the face. Yes, they have a kicker problem. They need to address it. They're not shying away from it, and they're doing everything they possibly can to fix it, and they keep bringing these kickers in, and they're going to keep doing it until they find someone. But I like the trade with the Raiders. Keep bringing kickers in. Do whatever you can to fill that need.
Very cool. You've been watching the NBA playoffs. I haven't watched basketball, and I'm not a big basketball guy. I haven't watched basketball in many, many years. But how are the playoffs going?
They're going. I'm kind of with you. I mean, it's sort of a weird time in the NBA. LeBron's not in the playoffs. Golden State continues to win. But they're kind of in a tight series with Houston, and a lot of people think that's sort of the NBA finals in and of itself, because they are probably the two best teams in basketball. So I think if you maybe aren't a huge NBA fan, but you do kind of want to get into it, keep an eye on that Houston Golden State series, because that one's been pretty tight so far.
Okay, that's what I've been hearing. I'm not just whenever I watch sports reports on TV or listen to them or whatever, I'll get my updates on the NBA through that. I just haven't been an NBA fan for a very, very long time.
I'm with you. I think a lot of people feel that way. The NBA is kind of it's the landscape of the NBA has changed very much over the past 5-10 years.
Yeah.
Very much, where sort of turned into a reality show, and it's got a lot of drama, but not the good kind of drama, Nick. It's more of like the Kardashian type drama rather than really high intensity basketball games and Michael Jordan type buzzer beaters and things like that and hard nosed basketball. So I'm kind of with you, and it obviously doesn't help when the Bulls aren't playing well.
Exactly. That's another thing. All right. What are you working on now, Kevin?
A lot of baseball stuff. Just continue to check my Twitter, and I'll be posting stuff from the ballpark every night, whether it's basically whoever's in town, Wrigley, or I'll be on the south side as well, and then I'll be churning out podcasts and blogs and all those sorts of things at WGNRadio.com.
Check it out, WGNRadio.com. Follow him on Twitter at KPowell720, and listen to him every weekday afternoon on The Real Con Show with Ana DeVellantis. Kevin, always a pleasure, buddy. Have a good one.
You're the best, Nick. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Take care, buddy. Kevin Powell, everybody. We'll talk to him again in about a month. Covers sports for you brilliantly on The Real Con Show with Ana DeVellantis every weekday afternoon right here on WGN. And again, go to WGNRadio.com, get his podcasts and all that cool stuff. All right, we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. The news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It is Wildcard Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday. And that's any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was Sam, wanted to hear the band Montrose.
Yeah.
And the song is called Bad Motor Scooter.
Yeah, there you go. Good old Montrose. Sammy Hagar was in that band.
Oh, that's Sammy Hagar?
Yeah. Ronnie Montrose was named after Ronnie Montrose. All right. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the toughest characters in movies. Tough guys, tough girls. And we're also going to talk about things that should be easy for us to do, but we haven't mastered them yet. Everybody's got those, and we've got a bunch of confessions from people who are embarrassed that they can't do certain things that everybody else can do. Tom, explain Know Your Onion. We're going to do that a little bit later on.
Yeah, Know Your Onion is a little game where we tried to decide what is a real headline and what is an onion headline.
Right.
A contestant gets 5 different headlines. It's a mix of the two. And if you can get at least 3 out of the 5 correct, you're going to win a prize.
A nice prize. And so that's the deal. And The Onion, for those people who might not be familiar with The Onion, The Onion is a satirical newspaper. It's online, and they do comedy versions of fake news. But the news is so weird now that a real headline sometimes comes off as like an onion headline. So We're going to play Know Your Onion. And when Tom reads those headlines to you, you have to say either real or onion. And again, if you get the majority of the guesses right, you'll win a prize. So that'll be coming up later on in the show. All right. So five annoying things that your body does, and it's explained by science. We all have these certain things that happen to our bodies that are annoying. And over the years, this is from cracked.com. Over the years, we've made some serious bank explaining why you feel the things you feel, you emotionally stunted robot. These discussions have mostly focused on the good stuff, not least because this world is a trash fire, and the more positivity we can spread, the better our morale is. But for those annoying sensations, the weird pains, the inexplicable dread, your complicated feelings for Dean Winchester, science is on those too. For example, stubbing your toe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is there literally a worse feeling in the world?
It's ridiculous. You stub your toe, it's ridiculous. And the pain and how annoying it is. Especially in the middle of the night, like if you get up to go to the can or something, and then boom! Ugh.
And if it's cold as well, your toes are a little...
Yeah.
Ooh.
Not good. So stubbing your toe hurts so much because it's attacking a bunch of nerves at once. There's no pain quite like twanging your funny bone or stubbing your toe, which is weird when you think about it, considering it's one of those parts that's made of pure bone, while the other is put there by evolution to make your flaming spin kicks even more devastating. By all rights, they should be some of the hardest parts of the flesh bag that you call a body. So why aren't they? It comes down to nerves. Your toes, for instance, are packed with nerve endings known as nociceptors, which are responsible for creating the feeling of pain. Oh, that's nice. Those suckers are everywhere, but unlike the rest of your body, your toes aren't well padded, which means any hit to your toe triggers an apocalyptic pain reaction. That's also the fact that your brain is hardwired to read pain differently depending on the body part the signals are coming from. Your brain isn't much bothered by the pain notifications from, say, your hips or breasts compared to how over the top it gets when it thinks your hands, your tongue, or your feet are under attack. This may sound like an unfair way of doing things, but it makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. One of the main ways to explore the world, after all, is through walking. If your feet weren't fine-tuned to react oh so dramatically to injury, then that might lead us to taking a more laissez-faire response to injuries, leading in turn to an increased risk of infection and inevitably an increased risk of our species dying out. Likewise, your funny bone is extra sensitive to the slightest injury because it's basically an obstacle on the nerve highway connecting your hands to your brain, otherwise known as the ulnar nerve. The nerve is well protected along the majority of its length, but when you get to your elbow, it has to bypass a bone knob called the medial epicondyle. And like your toes, this section of your elbow doesn't have any padding, so when you bang your funny bone, that means your arm is at just the right angle to pin your exposed nerve against the medial epicondyle, resulting in one hell of a mental noogie. Yeah, that's always weird, the old funny bone.
Mm-hmm. And it lasts for a while, too.
It does, yeah, it does. And there's nothing funny about it. I don't know who decided that the term funny bone would be an appropriate term for this part of your arm and elbow.
Someone with a grim sense of irony.
Yeah. How about this? Latchkey incontinence is the reason you need to pee when you are arriving home. What?
Have you never gotten that before?
Where I walk in the door and I have to pee? Right?
No, it's like, you know, you'll be in the car and you'll be, you know you have to go to the bathroom, but you're like, you know, I can hold it. I'm an adult. I know how to do this. But the minute you pull into your driveway and you know you're close, all of a sudden it hits you like a tidal wave and you just, you got to go. You got to go right then and there.
You're pretty good at holding it in, they say. You're all grown up now. You're a big person and you're in big person undies. Yet incontinence threatens to strike as soon as you pull up the driveway or step into your building. Your inner workings become so sensitive that the slightest knock could result in an explosion that takes out your pants and your dignity in two city blocks. It's not your fault, though. It's the work of latchkey incontinence, a bizarre psychological phenomenon typified by, quote, loss of urine that occurs when one arrives home and puts the key in the lock in one's front door. You know, on the off chance of the phrase latchkey incontinence wasn't obvious enough. The term was coined back in 2015 by a group of doctors studying patients with overactive bladders. After studying cases of latchkey incontinence, researchers suggested that by innocently going to the toilet upon returning home, their subjects accidentally conditioned themselves to always associate returning home with needing the toilet. And yes, that's exactly what happened to Pavlov's dog, but with pee. If you suffer from this, it's effectively the result of your bladder remembering that you always urinate when you arrive home, which results in urination happening through its own sheer force of will. You'll note that by succumbing to LI and jumping into the bathroom, you're only strengthening the condition further, which means that, we're very sorry to say this, you're going to have to start holding it in or use the bathroom at Arby's on the way home.
Please don't make me go to Arby's.
Of course, that can don't start dissing Arby's. You remember the last time you dissed
Arby's? I know,
Arby's?
But if there's one thing worse than Arby's food for me, it's Arby's bathrooms.
Uh-huh. Of course, that conditioning means you'll always have to go to the bathroom anytime you visit an Arby's, but is that so different from right now? That doesn't occur with me.
It happens to me all the time. Like, when I get home this morning after the show, I guarantee you, I'll get off the bus, I'll start walking, and the minute I get the key in the door, I'll suddenly just have to go.
That's so weird.
It's horrible, because it's like a lightning strike. All of a sudden.
I don't know. I've never had that happen to me. I'm trying to remember if I have to go, I usually do, as soon as I get home from work, I end up going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like when I'm opening the door. No. But I mean, I usually just go anyway.
Yeah. It's, well, now it makes sense that it's a Pavlovian response as opposed to one that's like, you know, all of a sudden I've got something wrong with me. It's just a psychological response.
Yeah, no, I've never, that's never, that's, does that happen to anybody else? 312-981-7200. How about this? Walking on a Lego hurts because Legos are tough as nails, if not tougher. Let's ask the big questions. Why does it hurt so damn bad to step on a Lego brick? It's all about physics, baby. As Smithsonian notes, Legos are made from an incredibly strong and durable plastic, and this, combined with their compact size, means that they can withstand 950 pounds of pressure before breaking. If you're unfortunate enough to stand on one, therefore the pressure you're exerting has no chance of dissipating into the brick. You know what can't withstand a great deal of pressure, though, right? Your foot. When faced with a literal immovable object, your foot crumbles and wraps itself around the brick knobs and sharp corners. Combined with this, the fact that, as we mentioned earlier, the foot is a gentle weeping willow when it comes to pain, and you've got an effective stun gun built into your shag carpeting. Yeah, I don't have any Legos at home, so that's not a concern.
I got in trouble a lot as a kid if I left my Legos out.
Well, I mean, I know it's not as though I've never stepped on a Lego, because
sure,
I have.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I have. I just don't, it's not a concern, you know.
Not anymore.
Being a single 53-year-old man who lives alone and has no children and doesn't play with Legos. So that's, it's not a concern. But it hurts like hell when you step on a Lego. It really does. And everybody knows it. Everybody at some point in their life has stepped on a Lego. But yeah,
that's crazy. What you said, 950 pounds of pressure,
950 pounds of pressure.
Well, at least, you know, those Danes, they know how to make a children's toy.
They certainly do. So, all right. So these are things about, we have annoying things that happen to our bodies, and we're explaining some of them too. I'm putting the key in the door and now I have to pee really bad. Thing happens to you. I'm interested. Because that seems very strange to me. But I understand the science, and I understand how it works. It just hasn't really happened to me. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. 312-981-7200. Talk or text.
She loves the bug. He's on the, yeah, yeah. She loves the bug. He's on the road. uncles ate for me. But I don't care what the whole world thinks.
She loves the monkeys.
Call us a couple of missing links.
She loves the monkeys.
Let all eat the monkeys.
Okay, yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Wild Card Wednesday, Amir! All right, what was that?
That was the Fender Tones with Monkey's Uncle, requested by Steve.
Okay. Don't know, we're not familiar with the...
No.
With She's in Love with the Monkey's Uncle. Wow, okay. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio if you'd like to join us. 312-981-7200. And also for your wild card requests, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. We've been talking about annoying things that your bodies do, explained by science. We've got some texts that come in. 262 area code says the funny bone is the end of the humorous bone. Oh, okay. I guess I knew that and I forgot. Still not funny. 312 area code says, I call BS on latchkey incontinence. Tom, it's happened to you.
It has. It happens to many people. I stand for them. I stand for the latchkey incontinent.
All right. Okay. I think this guy's mad just because you dissed Arby's again. I think that's probably what the problem is.
I didn't put it on there, but someone immediately followed it up with an Arby's.
You can't
text.
Be dissing Arby's, man.
I know.
I love Arby's, and my listeners love Arby's.
I promise you, I will go and I will give Arby's another shot. I will try.
Arby's rules. 651 area code says my poop gets 10 times worse once I hit the door.
Boom. There it is.
So wait a second. I mean, if you don't feel the need to go to the bathroom number 2 there, suddenly you get to the door and you do.
I think it's more of you kind of know that you might have to go, but the minute you know that you're like close to a bathroom.
That's so weird.
I know. It's horrible. It's my cross to bear. It's many people's crosses to bear.
It's just weird. All right. Now, this next one happens to me all the time. And I mean all the time. You jerk when falling asleep because your brain is trying to shut down. That happens to me every time every day when I try to sleep.
Is it the falling dream?
It's not even a dream. It's like I'm trying to fall asleep and all of a sudden I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
I mean, I've had that, the falling dream, you know, but I have it without the dream. I have it while I'm trying to fall asleep.
Right, right.
And it happens to me all the time. One of the many problems I have trying to get to sleep. As I've said many times before, I've had trouble sleeping pretty much my whole adult life. And I envy people who can close their eyes and fall asleep like that. It takes me at least 90 minutes to fall asleep. At least. And one of the things that I go through in trying to fall asleep is this thing where my body jerks and wakes me up. Ever been trying to sleep when your brain decides it's time for you to bolt upright for no apparent reason? This sensation, otherwise known as the hypnic jerk, is a result of your body falling asleep faster than your brain can shut down. Essentially, when you go to sleep, your brain switches from its default system to over to its nighttime program, which puts the body in a state similar to paralysis. Scientists believe that the hypnic jerk happens when the body's motor functions are still firing, but the brain switches over nonetheless, which breaks the system and causes your muscles to contract, causing you to jerk like it's the hot new dance craze sweeping the nation. There's no real way to stop this from happening because your body isn't so much your body as a bunch of appendage-shaped roommates who hate each other. But one suggestion is to starve your motor system of any stimulants before bed, such as caffeine, exercise, or stress. So when the lights go out, your motor is less primed to kick off, or you could hook a motion sensor up to the speakers and set them to play Gloria Estefan so it looks like the rhythm is finally going to get you.
All right.
I get, when it happens to me, and like I said, it happens regularly. I get so mad. I get so mad because I think I'm about to fall asleep, and then, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It makes me crazy. But I mean, I know, I understand it's my brain still, you know, not ready to go to sleep, because my brain, that's the main problem I have when I go to bed, is that I'm constantly thinking. I'm constantly thinking about the stuff that I did. I'm thinking about stuff that I have to do. You know, I start, you know, I sometimes I worry about things, and finally I think, okay, everything is cool. I'm going to finally fall asleep. And then this stupid jerk thing happens. So.
And it's, it freaks me out.
Well, I just get mad now. It used to freak me out. Like, like it happens and I go, ah! And then I go, damn it. You know, because it's, I think I'm on the precipice of actually going to sleep, which is something that is, takes me a long time to do. So I think I'm there. I think I'm at the finish line, and then, but, and then I jump and I'm like, man, and then I just get mad. Then I'm laying in bed mad. It's going to take another 15 minutes for me to stop being mad.
And another 90 minutes to fall back asleep.
Yeah. And then like, I'll just wake up again. Here's Daddy Man on WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, Daddy Man's love, Nick D.
Yeah.
I'm top flight security man. Hey, check it out. When you're sleeping in bed and you get up in the morning and you get a cramp, a Charlie horse in your calf or something like that, man.
Yeah, no, you know, my dad used to get terrible Charlie horses in the middle of the night. Like, he would wake up and, like, be in enormous amounts of pain. I get him every once in a while. But not as much as my dad used to get him all the time. He'd have to get up and like put pressure on his leg and bend and stretch out the calf
right.
muscle. And it hurts like hell though, man. I mean, they're really, really painful.
Yeah. Like I'm sleeping. All of a sudden I feel it. I have to break my stretch. I can't get that good stretch. You're getting stretched.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
And I don't want to get no challenge much, man.
Right. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. All right, thanks for the call, buddy.
Big D. All
right, there you go. Daddy Man, everybody.
I hate the Charlie horse.
No, it's terrible.
It's
terrible.
Do you ever get it where you feel it coming on? And
oh,
you're
yeah.
just like, oh,
yeah,
stop,
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, yeah. I also get, every once in a while, this is more often, I also get the sole of my foot. I get pains in the sole of my foot. And I get that more often than I get, like, the calf Charlie horse. But I swear to you, man, I remember my dad having, like, Charlie horse issues on a regular basis, and really, really painful ones that would wake him up and he'd be in horrible pain. But I get the sole of the foot a lot more than I get like the Charlie horse. The sole of the foot is the one that I get, that sharp pain right in the sole of the foot. You gotta like put pressure on your toes and stretch the toes up in order to relieve the pain, and it sucks. Again, this happens while I'm sleeping. So there you go. All right. We got one more of these things that your body does that are annoying but explained by science from this cracked.com article. But we want to hear from you if any of these things rely to you or there are other weird body issues that you have. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Who was that?
That was the Cocteau Twins with Cherry Colored Funk, and it was requested by Trooper CJ.
All right.
One Trooper of my favorite CJ. Groups.
Yeah. I haven't heard those guys in a long time. So, hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, 312-981-7200. We're talking about annoying things that our bodies do. And crack.com put some stuff together. Why does stubbing your toe hurt so much? Explained with science. They mentioned latchkey incontinence because, you know, as soon as you get home or pull up to your driveway or get to your front door, immediately you feel like you have to pee, which has not really happened to me. We've explained why walking on a Lego brick hurts so much. And why you jerk when you fall asleep. When you're falling asleep, all of a sudden you wake up to one of these jerking things, and it's like your brain is trying to shut down, and it's not falling asleep as fast as your body. And that one happens to me all the time. And then finally, number one, stop whining that other lane of traffic isn't moving faster than yours. You're sitting in traffic when you notice that the lane next to yours is picking up speed, so you throw on your blinkers, you scooch over, and watch dejectedly as your old lane picks up the pace and leaves your smart ass behind. It's a situation we've all encountered, not because the universe hates the impatient, but because we all share the same broken sense of perception. It's called illusionary correlation. And it's a phenomenon whereby your brain invents a relationship between two completely unrelated things, which in this case are, one, those lanes of traffic alternatively speeding up and slowing down, and two, you're moving lanes. Instead of explaining number one as the result of simply happens on its own accord, your brain explains it as the result of number two. Your new lane would have continued moving nicely if it wasn't for you screwing things up like you always do by moving into it. There are obviously going to be times when lanes switch speeds, either because there is a sudden accident or because a million like-minded drivers like yourself moved into the quote-unquote fast lane and opened up a ton of space in the quote-unquote slow lane, which of course makes complete sense. In most cases, however, it's your dumb sensory faculties running amok. Back in 1999, two scientists studied this phenomenon and found out the feeling of lane envy, as it's otherwise known, is the result of visual illusion based on how vehicles spread out when they're moving quickly and pack together when they're moving slowly. So this explains this way. Cars in congested traffic spend more time being overtaken by other cars than they did passing them. Both lanes were moving at the same average speed, but it wouldn't have seemed that way to the drivers. A driver may pass 10 cars all at once and then move into the slow lane and watch 8 cars speed past one by one. He'll think he's moving slower than average, but in fact he's moving faster. Yeah, that makes sense. There is a slightly sadistic twist to this story, though. The results of this study not only confirmed that this illusion exists, but also that drivers who have an aggressive driving style are more prone to this illusion than most, which means your average traffic jam is like an existential nightmare to them, a fact that should bring a spiteful smile to your face the next time somebody is tailgating you so bad that it feels like a vehicular prostate exam.
I heard that. Weren't you in a band?
Yeah, vehicular prostates. Yeah, me and Cochran were in that band.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Whew. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Here's Ruth on WGN. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling. You were talking about leg cramps before.
Yeah.
And this remedy I got from a therapist, and it really works good, is to take, and if it's in your thigh or your calf, you take and you straighten your leg out and you point your heel instead of your toes, you know, and just point it as hard as you can, and it pulls your muscles so that that the cramp goes away.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And is that what you do?
Yeah, sometimes it works. Sometimes
the heel and not with the toe.
Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, okay. I have had pretty good luck with it. So yeah. I just thought I'd mention. I didn't know that's what you were speaking of.
Thank you, Ruth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, bye. 312 area code says, drink a full glass of water. Charlie Hope scores goes away. Cramps result from dehydration. I drink a ton of water. A ton of water. And I have water on the nightstand next to me every single time I go to bed. There is water next to me. Every single time. And so when I get these little cramps, I get the Charlie horse every once in a while, not much, but every once in a while. But when I get the sole of the foot, when I get the pain, the cramp in the sole of the foot, that's the one that makes me nuts. But the water thing, I know Charlie horses are, you know, you're supposed to drink water, but I drink water. I drink a lot of water. 630 area code says, drink tonic water for night cramps. All right. I don't drink tonic water. I just regular water.
Hmm.
708 says, anytime you get a Charlie horse, point your toes towards the ceiling or towards your nose. Do this often until the cramp is relieved. Do not stretch the leg. It will worsen the cramp. Okay.
We did have a couple of callers who just wanted to pass on their remedies. They said one was drink pickle juice.
Well.
Which, you know, you're a fan of pickles.
Yeah,
it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
And then get a bar of Ivory soap and put it under your fitted sheet where you sleep. Claims it works like a charm.
What is it? In position where?
Like underneath the leg that
under
where you get the cramp.
Under the under the calf where your cramp is?
Yeah.
Put a bar of soap.
Put a bar of soap under the fitted sheet.
Okay.
Home remedies. Oh. I don't know.
All right. Well, if it works for some people, that's cool. If you want to jump in with any of this stuff, it's 312-981-7200. Mark sends in a text. Again, 312-981-7200. There's no worse pain than stubbing your toe when you have an ingrown toenail. Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible. 262 area code says, when you take a drink and it goes down the wrong pipe, you start coughing and you can't catch your breath while fluid is spewing out of every orifice. Every orifice? The hell? What the hell's wrong with you? That might be a condition you might want to take a look, have somebody take a look at. When fluid comes out of every orifice? I'll tell you what's the worst. You know, when you drink and it goes down the wrong pipe, that always sucks. You're coughing, you can't breathe, you know, you got to wait till it clears up and everything. I hate, the worst is when that happens with mouthwash.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It just burns.
And you can't breathe at all. You breathe in, you can't breathe at all. I mean, it's bad enough when it's any other liquid, like water. Even if it's just water, it sucks when you have it in the wrong pipe and you have to cough and everything. But with mouthwash, you get a little Listerine down in there. That's not fun, man. Not fun. It happened to me. It actually happened to me yesterday. Man. I was gargling and I was like, and I was coughing. I was like coughing for 15 minutes.
But at least your breath was minty.
My
fresh.
Breath was minty, yeah, and so was my lungs. Apparently, so were my lungs.
Cleared it all out.
My esophagus was all fine. You know, was minty fresh. But yeah, that's the worst. That really is the worst. And then your eyes start watering. You're coughing, and then your eyes watered. Oh, man.
And then the worst is when it happens in public, like you're at a restaurant or something, and a waiter comes by, hey, can I get you anything else to drink? And you're looking like you've just had a heart attack. And just, yeah, I'm good.
Well,
I
drink water during the show. I have water right within my arm's length right here. I have a cup of water, which I fill up every break. I leave the, you know, every time we have a news break, I leave the studio. I go down the hallway there to the refrigerator. I get the crushed ice and I get the water and boom. And it's happened a few times on the air where my producer has had to cover for me because I was just like, and then I was coughing for an hour and a half. And sometimes, you know, we'll be like, okay, take a break, you know, and then I hit the spots while I cough my lungs out. But I do not have fluid coming out of every orifice. That's seriously, you might want to have that checked. Because that's not a normal occurrence. If it goes down the wrong pipe and then you start coughing and fluid comes out of every orifice,
you got it coming at your ears.
There's
man.
Something wrong. There's something wrong there, man. That is not a normal response to that aggravating condition known as wrong pipe syndrome. And one of the great classic bits of comedy is, of course, the spit take, which is one of my favorite things of all time. And Charlize Theron does a great one in Long Shot. She does a fantastic spit take in Long Shot because there's an art form to it. And we were talking about how you were doing when you were in school, you were doing noises off or farces and stuff like that, slapstick. I have incorporated a spit take into every play that I've directed. Yeah. Not every play. But most of the comedies that I've done, I've involved a spit take because I love it. I love a good spit take. One of my favorite spit takes of all time. First of all, Jerry Lewis did spectacular spit takes, but he's Jerry Lewis. Because he worked on another level. Jerry Lewis was on a whole different level. One of my favorite spit takes of all time ever is in Airplane. Now, do you remember this in Airplane? Because you don't see Robert Hayes do the spit take. You see the water fly. He's off camera. It's Julie Haggerty. He's talking to Julie Haggerty. Uh-huh. He's in the hospital. He's talking to Julie Haggerty. He takes a sip of water. You don't see him do the spit take. You just see the water fly from one side of the frame to the other, and you see Julie Haggerty's reaction to the water flying out. One of the greatest one of the greatest and most unique ways of staging a spit take. One of the classic, you know, comedy tropes of all time. And that spit take in Airplane is genius. Genius. A great variation on a classic comedy bit. So, okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the talk about how weird our bodies are. And we got some people who are on the line. If you want to send in a text, it's 312-981-7200. And then after the news, we are going to jump into basic things that most people know how to do, but some of us can't even do it. And these are all like confessions from real people who shared online with some of the things that everybody else seems to do easily, but these people have definite, definite issues with doing that. Kind of a connected thing to the body, and this one is more behavior oriented. But if you guys want to jump in here on this, on these strange body things, you know, 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we will return with more after this. Yeah, man. What was Wildcard Wednesday, man? Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. What the hell was that?
That was the Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse opening.
Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse. Who requested that?
Let me grab that for you here. Sorry, I've got lots of people calling in tonight. That was Paul.
Paul. Okay. There you go. All right. So there it is. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We are talking about body issues and how weird things happen to the body, and we have weird body issues. And we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will be here after 5 with the opening bell. That's coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, let's get back to some of these calls. Here is Tim on WGN. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I was calling about the traffic thing. I used to drive to the airport every day for work.
Yeah.
And you get stuck in traffic, and, you know, like you said, you feel like you're not going nowhere. I have a system I always do. I always say if the traffic is tight, stay to the right.
Okay.
Which means when you're in the right lane, everybody else is trying to get to the left lane. And so you tend to go farther and faster as long as you stay in that right lane.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
People are coming on. Yeah, and then they just take off and go to the other lane, and you just keep on going.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's just that, you know, sometimes when you're in that right lane, it gets aggravating because you have to, when you're going past entrances, you have to merge with people who are trying to get on the expressway.
Oh, right, right. But the first thing they want to do is get over into the next lane over.
Yeah, exactly.
I also have something about the Charlie horse.
Yeah.
If you get a Charlie horse and you wiggle your toes, it works. It knocks it out.
Okay.
Just keep wiggling, and it works.
Okay. All right. All right, Tim. Thanks, man.
You bet.
All right. Traffic theories abound about being in that lane that's so slow. Then you switch over, and then suddenly that lane is slow. Science, man. It's science. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Let's see. Here is Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, another one on traffic is they have a sign, merging traffic up ahead. Either the right or left lane is closed. So you're staying in the lane that's going, all of a sudden, it seems like you're not moving and you're going backwards. That's because everybody from behind is coming up, going around, and getting up to where you have to merge in, where there's no more lane, and everybody cuts in.
Well, these are the
people. So actually, you're going backwards.
These are the idiots that put, anybody who passes on the right is an idiot. That's all I'm saying. If you're in a lane and you want to get someplace faster and you get into the right lane and you speed up and then suddenly you have to merge to the left, you're an idiot for doing that. That's pretty much it. That's kind of a universal thing. People who pass on the right are jerks.
But this also happens on the left. If a left lane is closed up ahead, like, you know, road work and that, and that lane ends, they have to merge in to the right lane.
Right. But it's a different story when, you know, because that's if one of the lanes is closed on the left side, that's probably because they're doing work or something. But naturally, if you pass on the right, you shouldn't do that.
Right. But they'll come from all the way in the back and cut up the
fence. I know. These are jerks. These are people who want to get, you know, they think they're going to get someplace fast, and they get out of the lane. Some people even do it on the shoulder. Some people on the expressway will go on the shoulder and fly down the shoulder to pass everything up and then get up to the front where they finally have to merge. And that's, I mean, oh, God.
And, you know, you were talking about things with the body. Sometimes you're sleeping and your body will jerk.
Yeah.
And you'll say, I'm falling or something. Well, I used to do that quite often, and I mentioned it to the doctor, and they sent me to a sleep study, and they found out I had sleep apnea.
Ah.
Your body, you stop breathing, and that's your body telling you wake up.
Yeah, well, I'm awake when it happens, Linda. I'm about to fall asleep when it happens. So it's not a breathing issue. It's definitely not a breathing issue. It's my brain.
It's your brain.
Yeah, yeah. There's something wrong with my brain.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. All right, Linda, thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, you know, I really don't want to open up the floor to, like, traffic issues that make you nuts. But people who pass on the right, and people who block the intersection. Like, if there's heavy traffic, people who block the intersection, it makes me crazy. It makes me absolutely crazy. People who block the intersection, it's just wait until, you know, because if the light changes and then you're in the middle of the intersection, you're a jerk. So if you block the box, I often said that, like, they should have, you know, like, you know, cops on the corners, like traffic cops on the corners. And if somebody blocks the box, they get they immediately get a $250 fine. No questions asked, nothing. You get a $250 fine for blocking the box. And then people on foot who walk across the street ignoring the hand that says stop because there's a green left arrow, there's a left turn lane and a left arrow, a green arrow, and pedestrians who cross the street and ignore that because they think, oh, the light's red, I'm just going to go across the street. Those people need to be slapped in the face.
Literally right at the end of this street, right at the end of Wacker, every single day. I take the 151 or the 146 bus in.
Yeah.
And there's that, you cross Michigan to get on over here. Every single day, there's some dude from Naperville who thinks, I'm in such a rush, I'm too important, I'm going to cross, it seems safe. And then all of a sudden a taxi comes whipping around the corner and he's shocked.
Yeah.
And he gives him the finger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man.
It's real simple. If you're at a crosswalk, there are these things that flash. One of them flashes, it's a guy walking across the street. Okay? And the other one is a hand that is basically telling you to stop, to not cross the street. If the hand is out, don't cross the street. And, you know, where we used to work, Tom, in the Tribune building, right there at Illinois, at Milwaukee, Illinois, was one of the most infamous of those.
Oh, yeah.
Where people would just cross, you know, if they're walking either northbound or southbound on Michigan Avenue, they would just cross across Illinois while people on Michigan Avenue would want to turn left. And then not only is that annoying, but it backs up traffic on Michigan Avenue. On southbound Michigan Avenue, it backs up traffic.
And that doesn't need any more help, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You're doing something at Illinois and Michigan, and it's having an effect as far down as Chicago and Michigan. Idiots. All right, we got to take a break. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are going to play another round of Know Your Onion. That's where Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to guess if it's real or it's an onion headline. And for those of you who don't know, The Onion is a hilarious fake news newspaper that does satirical news. But the news is real news is so weird now that sometimes a real news headline sounds like an onion headline. You'll call in, and Tom will ask you the headlines, and you'll have to say real or onion. If you get a majority of them correct, you'll win a very cool prize. So that's coming up. We're also going to talk about some of the toughest characters in movies ever. Tough characters. But right now, we've been talking about weird body issues that people have, and it's Wildcard Wednesday. You've been Wildcard Wednesday! Who asked for the stray cats?
That was 773.
773 area code asking for the Stray Cats. You can get your requests in now. Wildcard Wednesday, any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We're talking about some weird body issues, but then we're going to talk about basic things that some of us just can't seem to get right, just can't seem to master. And we've got a whole bunch of like sort of confessions that people shared online about basic things that most people know how to do very well, and these people just can't get the hang of it. Before we jump into that, here's Ron on WGN. Go ahead, Ron.
So, first of all, I want to say good morning, guys. Heartburn. A lot of people have these issues. Some people take Pepcid or Zantac. If you don't have that money, then most resort to Tums. Prolonged use of Tums, though, can cause calcium stones in your stomach, and it's only good in the immediate, and you're going through a whole thing of Tums in a day. Usually you have acid reflux from, A, you ate too late at night and you're trying to sleep while your body is digesting food, or B, you just had way too much acidic food. To alleviate that, balance out the acidity in your gut and drink a massive amount of water. Sometimes it can be hard, but just keep forcing it down and give it about 10 minutes and it'll be totally alleviated. You won't have to take Tums, you won't have to take your Zantac or Pepcid or whatever heartburn medication you might have. It's natural, it's better for your body, you're hydrating, and the same thing actually works for cramping legs. It's all because of dehydration.
Oh. Yeah, okay. All right, sounds good, Ron. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Okay. So essentially what we've learned from this whole segment, people need to drink a lot of water. That's basically what we've learned.
It's good for you. Yeah. You're doing the right thing, Nick.
Well, I do. It's yeah. I mean, I drink a ton of water, and I just basically the only liquids that I drink now are water and milk. Every once in a while, I'll have like a ginger ale or something, but it's mostly water and milk. So, all right. Now, basic things that people are good at. Some people struggle with them. And the intro to this is, ever feel like everyone else has the world figured out, but you're still struggling? Like you can't parse why all the people seem to instantly grasp things that are confusing and complicated to you. You're not alone. Here are some confessions that there are some basic tasks that some people just can't wrap their big dumb brains around. And here are some confessions of people who shared some of these basic things that you just can't master. So one person says, I can't instinctively tell left from right. It takes considerable thought for longer than I'd care to admit. When giving directions, I usually just go with that way and then that way with some hand gestures. I don't have a problem with that. I noticed last night when I was watching North by Northwest, I never noticed this before, but both Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint were lefties.
Ooh.
Because I notice that all the time. I'm left-handed. Mm-hmm. And so
you see one of your brethren.
I see one of my brethren, and I immediately say, lefty. And it used to drive the women that I've been with nuts, because we used to sit on the couch, and all of a sudden I just go, lefty. I say it by myself. I sit on the couch watching TV alone, and I go, lefty. So, yeah, but I noticed it last night watching the movie. Eva Marie Saint and both Cary Grant are lefties. I knew Cary Grant. I think I knew Cary Grant was lefty, but I wasn't aware that Eva Marie Saint was.
You know what? I think I knew that from watching another Hitchcock classic, Notorious.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember him. There's a scene where they're in a basement, like looking at fake bottles of wine, and he's, you know, his dominant hand is clearly his left.
Yeah,
and I remembered that for some reason.
But you know, I thought it was kind of cool. Like the two leads in the movie are both left-handed. I didn't notice if James Mason was left-handed or not, or Martin Landau. How about this one? Here's another one that is a confession. After almost 30 years of living on this planet, I still have it's still a mystery to me how some people never misplace their keys. That's what a person says. I am one of those people that never misplaces his keys.
You are?
Yes.
I literally have to search for my keys every single day. I got have you ever seen those little tile things that you attach to your key? And you connect it to your phone. And
oh, yeah.
It chirps. Yeah. It's been a godsend.
I don't understand. I don't know. I don't.
You're an organized guy.
I don't misplace my key. They're very important, so I'm not going to misplace them. You know? And
As my dad used to say of me that I couldn't organize a bun fight in a bakery, so, you know. This is just kind of on brand.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people lose their keys. I mean, I know it's a very common thing. I just don't. These are very important things. You know, the only time I ever lost a phone. I know a lot of people lose their phones too. The only time I ever lost a phone was because I was wearing this hoodie that I have on, this Blackhawks hoodie, and the pockets are not very, they're not the deepest pockets. They're not the best pockets in the world. And I was going to the music box to see the midnight show of Fury Road for, I don't know, the 80th time seeing that movie. And so I'm in a cab, and I get out of the cab, I pay the cabbie, I get out of the cab. And I close the door. I get out of the cab. I turn. He drives away, and I suddenly realize that my phone fell out of my pocket. And because of these damn pockets, it fell out of my pocket when I was getting out of the cab, and he drove away. So, and this was right in front of the theater. So
yeah, yeah.
I obviously did not go into the theater. So it's like 11:45. On like a Friday, or I can't remember whether it was a Friday or a Saturday night. I think it was a Friday. Friday night. And so I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what to do. I don't have the phone. And, you know, so I walk up Southport a little ways, and then I'm just kind of sitting in front of the Jewels on Southport. There's benches in front of the Jewels, and I'm sitting there. And so I see some people walking down the street. But here's the thing. I remembered the number of the cab. I don't remember it now, but I remembered it then, because this was like 2 years ago when this happened, 2 or 3 years ago when this happened. So I stopped the person on the street. You know, this, again, like I said, it's like midnight now on a Friday night, and just some idiot sitting in front of the Jewels. And I stopped this person, and I asked if I could use their cell phone, because I have to call the cab company. And I explained the whole situation. They were very nice, and they let me use the phone. So I used the phone. I call the cab company, which takes forever because it was a Friday night, you know, at midnight. So I finally get through. I talk to a dispatcher, and I remember the number of the cab. And so I said, listen, my phone, I dropped my phone in the back of that cab, and I hope that you can contact the driver. And so they're like, yeah, all right, stay where you are. And I told them, I told them where I was. I said I was at the Jewel on Southport, like 36 whatever, North Southport, and I will wait there. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, if I, apparently if someone gets into the cab and they see the phone, there is a chance, knowing that some people are jerks, that they'll just take the phone. And so I've got that going through my mind. Now I'm losing my mind, you know. And not only that, I'm missing Mad Max. Most importantly, I'm missing Mad Max Fury Road at this point. So I'm sitting there, and about an hour goes by, and the cab pulls up. And he gestures to me, and he holds up my phone. He's like, is this yours? And I'm like, yes. And I got in the cab, and he gave me a lift back to my house, because I'm not going to go see them. I missed the first hour of the movie. Not like I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
He said that someone actually got into the cab and said, hey, there's a phone back here, and gave it to the cabbie.
Ah, nice.
And so that restored my faith in humanity that night. But like stuff like keys and my phone, I make sure I have it on me, at all times. And when I wear this hoodie, the phone goes into my front right pocket of my pants immediately.
Never again.
Never again. Never again. But yeah, I can't remember a time I've ever lost a pair of keys.
Yeah.
Or like, because without something like that happening, like a hole in the pocket or something like that.
Yeah, something extraneous.
But like, just like me throwing my keys, you know.
That's totally me.
There's a place in my apartment where every day when I get home, it's one of the end tables by my couch.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thing that I put my keys in, my wallet, and all the stuff. It's always there. And when I leave, it's always in my. I always make sure I go to that place, put them back in my pockets, and I have them on me.
Mm-hmm. I need to do that. I need the dish.
Yeah.
Well, and working at the 400, as you might imagine, people lost stuff all the time in the movie theater.
Oh yeah.
And weird stuff too.
Well, you know, one of my favorites, Liz Braun, who used to work here. She did news here on weekends, and when I did a weekend show, she would, on Saturday night, she would do the news with me. And she used to work at the Norwich. She said that she found there was weird stuff, like, in the theater constantly, which I'm sure is a regular, it happens on a regular basis. And I'm sure people, there are phones and all kinds of keys. Everything.
I found someone's weave once. And they came back for it. I was like, lady, this is covered in popcorn oil and like God knows what. And she's like, nah, that cost me like $100.
I want my weave. Give me my weave. Throw it in the washing machine. It'll be fine. But she said the way, she told me, you know, some of the stuff that she's found in theaters at the Norwich, like in the theater. And she said that the funniest thing, the most hilarious thing that she found was after like the first Friday night showing of Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. She was working there at that time. She was going through the, you know, she was cleaning out the theater. She goes like to the second to the last row, and there was a full gorilla costume that was left in the. So somebody came with a gorilla costume to see Planet of the Apes. He was probably so pissed off that the movie was so bad that he's like, I'm never going to wear this again. So, all right. We got to take a break here, and then we got more normal things that basically everybody else can do, but I can't. And we got more confessions coming up, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200.
The Penguin and his 10 goons are plotting in a back room pile. Crash, boom, bam, in leaps the Batman, making life safe again for all the Gotham citizens. He's so bitchin', he's so brave, it's back to the Batcave. He's got cool and savoir faire in his cape and cowl and his gray underwear. Who is the hero that we like best? Gotta be the Batman, gotta be Adam West.
Uh-huh, okay. So somebody did a parody of the song Wild Wild West, and changed it to Adam West. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 right here on 720 WGN. So stay tuned for that. Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Any artist, any song, anything? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who was that and who requested that?
So that was Adam West by Wally Wingert, who was he? Was he the voice of the Riddler at one point? Maybe not. I don't know. But that was requested by Glenn.
Glenn, okay. Adam West. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We were talking about weird stuff with your body and then now weird behavior things. And these are basic things, simple basic things that some of us just can't seem to master. Like, for instance, and these are all confessions that people have shared online. This one says, most people I know can memorize song lyrics and sing flawlessly. I can't do any of that. I've always avoided karaoke places or even singing in cars with friends.
Are you a karaoke guy?
Nah, not really. I told you what my go-to karaoke song, right?
Which one was it? You've definitely mentioned it.
Yeah, it's Higher by Creed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's my go-to whenever I go. I have not been, because, you know, I would not be able to do karaoke sober. So I've not gone to karaoke in years. So.
Yeah, I used to go every Sunday night after work at the 400. There were three, because there were only ever three people on staff at any given time. So there was the three of us that would close every single Sunday, and after that we'd go across to a place called the Oasis.
Oh yeah, I know the Oasis.
Oh, the
Oasis is a 4 o'clock bar, dude. I know every 4 o'clock bar in the city.
I should have known. Yeah, I should have known. But we would go over every Sunday and do a little karaoke.
Our theater company, the Factory, started out on Loyola, right around the corner from the Loyola L stop.
Yeah,
it was a storefront right around the corner on the side street Loyola. And that's where we started. And we used to drink at, now I can't think of the name.
Would you Bruno's?
Bruno, is it a bar? Is it a tap? A tap room attached to a liquor store?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, oh man, Bruno's been there for a long time.
That's where I saw the Bronco chase, the OJ Bronco chase.
We
used to go to Bruno's all the time. That place ruled.
And it's still awesome.
When I was a drinking man, I liked those kind of bars.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the drinking where you go to drink not to pick up anybody or any of that kind. I like dive bars mostly. Bruno's, I love tap rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're so cool. I love when there's a liquor store and a bar attached to it. Those were my favorite kind of bars. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But I loved a tap room attached to a liquor store, and Bruno's was great. So what happened was we were watching a really terrible play at our theater at the Factory. And it was a different theater company that we rented out to, but two of our Factory members were in the show, and it was a horrible show. So after the first act, which was horrendous, we're like, we need to go to Bruno's right now and get some booze because we're not going to make it through the second act without getting smashed. So we left during intermission, went down to Bruno's, walked in. Nobody was in the liquor store. There was nobody behind the counter or anything, and there were a ton of people just looking up at the screen looking up at the TVs in the tap room. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And we walk in and we look and we see the basketball game in the small screen in the bottom left corner and then the Bronco chase.
Oh, my God.
And I go, what's going on? And they told us, like, OJ's trying to get, he's trying to leave. The cops are chasing him and he's in the Bronco. And I'm like, so I had to go back and see the second act of the show because my friends were in it and I didn't want to be a jerk. But I wanted to stay and just watch it. And I was so distracted, and the show was such a piece of crap that in the second act, all I kept thinking about was, when we get out of here, O.J. Simpson's going to be dead. He's going to be dead. He's going to get killed. The cops are going to kill him. Because it wasn't a high-speed chase, but he's going to chase. And nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And so that's that one of the memories that I have about Bruno's. I saw the Bronco chase there. That's where I saw the Bronco chase.
Of all the places.
But we would, like after shows and stuff, we'd go up to Bruno's, we'd go there, and then I would inevitably, because of my drinking habits, I'd end up at Oasis. I can't tell you the number
where dreams come true.
Can't tell you the number of times I've been to that bar.
Oh, boy.
But that's pretty cool. I didn't know they did karaoke there.
They do.
Yeah.
That they do.
Okay. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up next, and then more basic things that I can't do or you can't do. 312-981-7200. Good morning, if you're just waking up. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. It's Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? Never know what you're going to get. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. What the hell was that?
So that is a Ned Flanders-themed death metal group called Okilly Dokilly.
Okay.
And that is the song All That Is Left for all the lefties out there.
Ah, look at that.
And our good friend Patrick wanted you to hear that one.
Okay. I've heard of that. I just didn't recognize it, obviously.
Yeah, not a big death metal guy?
No, not really. So we're talking about basic things that most people can do, but some of us just can't get it. We can't do it. We can't do it. And one of them was someone said that they don't understand how anybody has never lost their keys. Because Tom is one of these guys who does just kind of leaves his keys around someplace. But I I've never lost my keys. They're always on me, and I always have them because they're really important. And 312 area code says, keys are important, so most people develop a system or install a key hook. Okay. 847 area code says, I'm with you, Nick. I have the same key ring for my keys since 1988. And I can prove it because the ring tag still has a date on it. So there's a there you go. So I had the key ring since 1988. Cleveland Tom. Hey, Nick, fellow lefty here. I cannot for the life of me snap my fingers with my right hand. I'd never cut it out as a jet or a shark. Here, hold on a second. Wait a minute now. Hold it. Here's you want to know a weird thing? I can't snap my fingers with my left hand.
You can only do it with your right?
Yeah.
I can barely snap my fingers at all. I can't even... Because, you know, you're supposed to... Isn't it you're supposed to do it with your middle finger and your thumb, right?
Yeah.
I can only do it... I use three fingers. I have to use my thumb, my middle finger, and my index finger, and I push my middle finger...
It looks like you're giving somebody the finger. It looks like you're flipping me off.
Maybe I am. Oh. Yeah, but I'm dead serious. That's the only way I learned how to snap.
I can just do... Just my right hand. I can't do my left. Can't do my left.
I can't do
it. Which is so weird because Cleveland Tom can only do his left. He can only with his right hand. He can't do it on his right hand. Only on
Cleveland
his left.
Tom, my evil left-handed counterpart from Ohio.
Lefty. We got it tough, man. life
it's
is
hard out there for
life
a lefty.
Is, it absolutely is, man. I still remember when. What were they? 8-6 Mafia. What the hell were they called?
Oh, 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah,
it's hard out there for a pimp.
Yeah, when 3-6 Mafia won the Academy Award, Jon Stewart was the host, and Jon Stewart came out and walked up to the microphone and said, "I just wanted to let everybody know, 3-6 Mafia won, Martin Scorsese 0." It was still one of my favorite because Scorsese had not won an Oscar up until that point, and I just thought that was hilarious.
I do love having to say. When talking about 3-6 Mafia, Oscar award winner,
yeah.
Juicy J.
Yeah. All right, here's more basic things that most people can do, but some people find impossible. Another person says, I've always been amazed by people who can recite movie quotes or punchlines so easily. I'm always stuck trying to remember the lines, even from my favorite movies. People have said to me, when I say, what movie is that from? They've responded, dude, we just saw it yesterday. That's not a problem area for me.
No.
I can do that. But as the years go by, sometimes you know I forget what the lines are. Sometimes, and someone will do the line, and I'll be like, "What? Oh man, wait a minute, what movie is that from?" Because you know I get older.
Sure,
I killed a lot of brain cells when I was drinking. So, how about this one? My whole life, I have never been able to burp. I've seen my friends do it easily. Soda and beer are my enemies. They leave my stomach uncomfortable, but I can't burp the gas out. If I've ever really tried, I would be forcing myself to throw up instead. That seems like a physical ailment to me.
Yeah, that's something that babies do that. Without you don't think about it, you just kind of do it.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Well, babies need help doing it for a while, and then they're fine.
Yeah.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Someone says, even after watching countless tutorials, I still can't tie a Windsor knot without the help of my younger brother.
No. I figured that out pretty quick once my dad showed me.
Yeah. That's not a problem. I very rarely wear ties.
True. And a Windsor knot. That's pretty formal knot.
Yeah.
That's not just your foreign hand there.
Yeah.
Not even a half Windsor.
Well, I also do the thing that that Brad Pitt does in Seven. He just leaves his ties tied and he hangs them up.
Yeah.
Because there's he pulls out the thing and he's got like four ties that are already tied. Just puts them over his head, tightens it. That's exactly what I do.
Hmm.
All right, how about this one? I can never remember numbers worth a crap. I'm not talking about math. I mean phone numbers, PIN numbers, account numbers. I literally have to look at my driver's license sometimes to remember what my address is most of the time. Your address? I can totally understand phone numbers and PINs and account numbers and stuff like that. And passwords. It's another one, you know, because you have to have passwords. Everything has to have a password now and PIN numbers. And stuff. And nobody remembers. I don't know any phone numbers now. I don't know any phone. I know my phone number.
I remember my mom's and my grandmother's.
It's all in my phone.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But yeah, I can understand that. How about this one says it's elementary. Well, listen, I cannot do math without using my own digits. So seeming you gotta use your fingers and your thumb in order to get to do the math. I'm not the strongest with math either. Here's another one who confesses, if you toss something to me, I will never, ever catch it, ever.
I've got that.
That's pretty, seriously?
Yeah, I know. I when I played sports, I was a hitter. I had hands like a digital clock, seriously. Although I do have an innate ability to catch food when it's thrown at me.
Mm-hmm.
An old roommate of mine noticed that he'd toss like a football at me. I'd be really bad at catching it. But if he tossed me an Oreo, I could just snatch it out of the air, not even look.
Wow.
So he said I could be all-American wide receiver if they played with a chocolate eclair.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. How about this one? Someone saying, although I do know most places in my hometown, I'm still really bad at giving directions. So don't ask me how to arrive at your destination, because if you do, consider yourself lost. Yeah, I'm not great with directions either.
I can do downtown pretty good because it's more of a grid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I don't even know. Like, I can't, like it would take me to get my bearings to say, what's east and west? Well, no. This is west. Behind me.
Yes.
That's east, straight ahead of me.
Yeah, because that's lake.
South is to the right of me, and mm-hmm. left is north.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Once I figure out where the lake is, it becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, the lake's right behind you.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, well, that's definitely east.
Well, also, that this is the west studio, and that's the east studio.
Right.
Studio A, where most people do their shows from. They do their shows from Studio A. And Studio A has a better view, but I think this studio is better. I like this studio more. But Studio A has got a nice view. It really does, because you can see the lake. You can look right outside, get the sunrise, you know? And, you get the Ferris wheel, Navy Pier, all that stuff right out the window. And we got a pretty good view here. We got the Chicago River right here.
Yeah.
Right across, we can see the Michigan Avenue Bridge, the Wrigley mm-hmm. Building. We can mm-hmm. see our old home in the Tribune a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's beautiful up here. Yeah.
Love the Skyline Studio.
Yeah.
I do miss a little bit of people watching, but I do adore this view.
I never liked the Showcase Studio.
Really?
Never a fan.
It was always interesting when we would be doing a show and talking about something really serious, and then all of a sudden you realized it was the Saturday of the Naked Bike Ride.
Right.
And, you got to see everybody's bits and bobs.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I used to be on Saturday nights. I was on it. I was on every Saturday night. We'd pass right by. But the thing is the Showcase Studio, a lot of people loved it. Everybody thought it was cool. But I did the show from the seventh floor. I never did the show from downstairs. Never. So one of the reasons why, but when I was doing weekends, I had to do it down there. And I also had to do it down there sometimes, because they were doing work on different studios. I remember I had to, and for the last, like, they destroyed my studio about a month before we moved.
Yeah.
They destroyed the seventh floor studio that I used to use. It was the most depressing thing ever. When I walked in, they ripped the whole thing apart. And I was like, ah! Because I'd worked in that studio for years. And, But this studio is set up exactly like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
almost a carving, except there's no bathroom over there.
I do miss that.
Yeah.
That was pretty
nice.
There
used to be a bathroom in the studio, like 20 feet away from where I sat. So, but everything else is set up almost exactly the same. Okay. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we have more basic things that most people can do, but some people just can't even attempt. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up at 5, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, we're also going to talk about toughest movie characters, and after 4 o'clock, right after 4 o'clock, call in and you can play Know Your Onion. That's coming up right after the 4 o'clock news. And it's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday! And who was that? Oh, who was that? What I recognize that from somewhere.
So that was Rock and Hyde with Dirty Water.
Oh, all right. Who requested that?
And that's coming to us from Canadian Bill.
Canadian Bill. All right. Canadian band. Canadian connection. Always. All right. Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about basic skills or basic things that most people do and know and can do, but there are some people out there who just can't seem to master these things. These are confessions that were put out online by real people, and here's another one that they just said. See if anybody else out there can identify with any of these at 312-981-7200. No matter how hard I try, I can barely shuffle a deck of cards. Every attempt turns into a clumsy mess. I'm so bad, even my mother has arthritis in both hands is better than me. That's a good skill. Someone else says, I'm late for everything. Most people I know can get where they need to go on time, but it seems to be impossible for me. It's not that I think my time is worth more. It's just that I have a terrible concept of how much time it takes to get anywhere.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves about people.
Me too.
I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I learned from working in the service industry, was if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about that. I have dated and married a few late everywhere women, and it makes me nuts. And so by my association with them, I became a late person because we would show up late to places that we were both supposed to be. And it got to the point where, like, if I was making plans with someone, I would tell her that we had to be there a half an hour earlier than we really did, just so we would get there on time. And I'm either on time or early everywhere I go.
It's the best way to be.
Everywhere I go, either on time or early. My parents are like that too. My parents are actually early to everything. And I do. I mean, I think it's rude to have people wait for you. You know, if you've planned on being someplace, be there on time. But I know people who are chronically late.
Yeah.
All the time. Like all the time.
Because it's awkward, you know, if you're going out for drinks.
Yeah.
You're just kind of sitting there just waiting.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit of social anxiety, but I feel like everybody's like, oh, man, look at that guy. He's clearly waiting for someone.
Yeah.
Or the waiter comes up, is like, just you? And like, no, waiting for someone?
Yeah.
It's not
good. No, it makes me nuts. But it's really insane to date someone. Because we would go out and it would take her forever to get ready. It was one of the things about her was that it would take her forever to get ready. And I realized that men have it much easier than women.
Right.
In terms of, you know, dressing up and doing what they have to do in order to look, you know, nice. And guys just throw on a shirt and a pair of pants and it's over. At least that's the way it is for me. I would just, like, if we were going somewhere, I'd be dressed and I'd just go back, sit on the couch, and I'd watch TV and not even, you know, we should be heading out the door at this point. I should have my keys ready to lock the door and everything. I'm just sitting on the couch watching TV because I know this is going to go on another 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one that I have no idea how people leave voicemails. I always wind up stammering and umming through the message sounding like a dope. Yeah. Here's another one. I can't order a drink at a bar without several minutes of rehearsal. Last time I tried, I was able to say vodka and Red Bull, please, without too much trouble. But when the bartender asked what kind of vodka, I awkwardly mumbled the regular kind, prompting him to laugh in my face.
Hey, man, can I get a beer?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get served. Yeah. What kind of vodka? Just say well. All you got to say is just go well. It's pretty easy. Yeah. No regular. Just say well.
Not going to taste it anyway.
Yeah. Red Bull. God. Let's see. For some reason, folding a shirt has always been a mystery to me. I've tried following many tutorials, and I still can't get the perfect neat fold. I usually end up just hanging them all in my closet. Clearly somebody who never worked at the Gap.
It's a religion there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here we go. I agree with this 100%. I cannot apply my own eye drops. Watching a drop of liquid fall into my eye by my own hand, it takes the kind of courage that I just don't have. It gets all over my cheek whenever I try to put eye drops in. I had every once in a while I'll get like that. The white part of my eye will get red.
Yeah, just like irritated.
Irritated, and some of it has to do with it's actually the when it happens the most is change in temperature. Like if it becomes very cold, my eye reacts that way.
Yeah,
it's usually my left eye, and the Visine kind of helps, but not much because that's more than bloodshot. You do Visine for bloodshot eyes. Mm-hmm. This is like an irritant or like a bruise of the eye.
Yeah, yeah,
and so. It doesn't work, but I cannot do Visine in my eye. I can't do it.
Who do you get to do it?
I don't use it.
Whenever
I do need to use Visine, it's all over my cheek. I will have to squirt the bottle like 12 times in order to get one drop in my eye. Because I'll be blinking and it'll be freaking out and I don't want the thing close to my eyeball. And that's, you know all the gross stuff that you see in movies?
Yeah.
The only thing that really, I can't really watch is eye violence.
So I'm guessing A Clockwork Orange was a little bit tough for
that you. Was a little tough. Zombie. Good God.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead and Buried.
Mm-hmm.
So, needles in eyes and that kind of stuff. The eye thing is just kind of freaks me out a little too much. And so, like, trying to put eye drops. And, like, I could never, I'll tell you right now, I could never wear contacts. Ever.
Nah.
No way.
Gotta do eyeglasses.
Yep.
When it comes to eye violence, there's a movie called Female Prisoner Scorpion number 701. It's got a pretty good eye stabbing scene.
Oh, good. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah. Well, just in case you ever come across
it. Oh, and it's like, yeah, okay. Well, you know, with a title like that, I'd be disappointed if it didn't have a good eye stabbing scene.
Oh, it's great. There's Kabuki theater in it. It's wild.
Okay. All right, we got a break here because the news is coming up, and then after the news, get ready to call in 312-981-7200. See if you know real news from funny fake news when we play Know Your Onion, and that'll be coming up right after the news, which is next.
We've got a gorilla for sale, Godzilla gorilla for sale. Won't you buy him, take him home and try him, gorilla for sale. In the window, Godzilla gorilla, full of charm and appeal.
Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Magilla Gorilla. Who wanted to hear the Magilla Gorilla theme?
That was Dino.
All right, Dino. Magilla Gorilla. Used to watch that every day. Yes. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6, as we do every weekday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to call in. We are about to play a round. We're going to get to, by the way, we're going to get to some of the toughest movie characters of all time. But right now we want to play a round of Know Your Onion. And we have the intro ready.
It's time to Know Your Onion.
Always, the crowd was lively.
Always have a very enthusiastic crowd for Know Your Onion. this is a game that Tom came up with where he will read you. He's your host. He will read you a total of five news headlines, and you have to guess whether they're real or whether they're from The Onion. And some people who might not know what The Onion is a comedy, satirical, fake news newspaper. And they do crazy news stories that are made up and funny and satirical. But the news in the real world is so insane right now that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between an actual real news headline and an Onion headline. So Tom's your host. He'll be reading. And what you got to do is he will read you a headline and you have to just say real for a real headline, or Onion for the Onion fake headline. So, did I explain it just about correctly?
I would say so, Nick.
Are we ready? Do we have our first contestant?
Yes, we do. Let's bring Liz in.
Okay. Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Hi. Are you
Hi, how are you?
Are you familiar with the Onion?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So you understand the rules, right? Tom's going to read you a news headline, and you have to decide whether it's real or if it's The Onion. And just say real,
right.
Real. You say real or Onion, okay?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Liz, let's get started. Your first headline, crowd erupts into chants of PowerPoint after Yang pledges to use PowerPoint at the State of the Union address.
That will be... Onion.
Oh, I'm sorry, Liz. That's actually
a real
headline. Yes.
That's a real headline.
Yes, that is originally from The Hill. A crowd erupted into chants of PowerPoint as presidential candidate Yang pledged to use PowerPoint at the State of the Union.
That is insane.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. We've still got a few chances left, Liz. Next one here. Diners eating Impossible Burgers doused with beet juice by protesting meat rights activists. I'll say that one more time. Mm-hmm. Diners eating Impossible Burgers doused with beet juice by protesting meat rights activists. Is that real or The Onion?
Real. I'll say it's real.
Unfortunately, that is an Onion headline.
Yeah.
That is an Onion headline. Don't worry. All right.
You got to get these last three, though, to get the majority.
All right.
So, all right. What's the next one?
All right. I believe in you, Liz. This next one. The FDA launches Food Awareness Month to get Americans interested in eating again. Is that real or The Onion?
Okay, I'm going to go real.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is The Onion.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah,
Liz.
Yeah, the FDA.
No. Yeah, well, we're going to give you, what are we going to give her? The weather?
We're going to give her the Indoor Desktop Weather Center.
Yes, you get the Indoor Desktop Weather Center, okay, Liz?
Wow, thank you so much.
All right, sure.
Stay on the line.
All right, we got another, we need another caller so that we can get into, the second round here. Liz, you stay on the line, and we'll get to you in a minute. But we need another caller, and to play one more round, we're going to play one more round of Know Your Onion. Again, Tom will read some news headlines to you, and you have to decide whether they're real or whether they're The Onion. And we have our next contestant.
Yes, we do. That's Ed.
Let's bring Ed in. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick.
All right. You know The Onion?
Yep.
Okay. So you got to just say whether you think it's real or whether you think it's The Onion. All right.
Yep.
Tom, go ahead.
All right, Ed, here is your first headline. Wendy's is bringing back its spicy chicken nuggets, and you have Chance the Rapper to thank for that. Is that real or The Onion?
What rapper?
Chance the Rapper.
Real.
Very good. He got it. That is a real headline originally from CNN, of all places. I'll play a little.
Oh, yeah.
There There you go.
Good job. I think that was DJ Luscious Huscious.
That sounded like him. All right, what's the next headline?
All right, next headline. A woman was arrested after trespassing at the CIA 3 days in a row asking for Agent Penis. Is that a real or Onion headline?
Onion.
Ooh, let's see. What does the crowd think? Is that a real or Onion?
Aww.
That is a real.
You gotta be
headline.
Kidding me.
Yes, that is originally from NBC4 in Washington, D.C.
Agent Penis.
Yes, she trespassed 3 days in a row asking for Agent Penis.
I can't believe that's real. This is how weird the world is that we live in now.
Fake news, Nick.
All right.
All right. He's got one right, though.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Next one. Trump vows extensive search to find new DHS director with ideal personality disorders. Is that real or the Onion?
Onion.
And that is?
Oh, yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. Very good. He's got two. He's got two now.
You need one more for a majority, Ed, and then you'll be a big winner. Okay.
All right. Here's the next one. Shrimp in England's rural rivers are laced with traces of cocaine. Is that real or the Onion, Ed?
Real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
They covered that story. The Daily Show did a number on that one.
Of course.
Yeah,
all right, so,
Ed, you're a winner. Tell him what he won, Tom.
All right, you're winning a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizzeria.
So there you go, Ed.
Thanks, guys.
All right, hang on. There you go. All right, there you go. That's how we play it. We'll do it again next Wednesday morning, and that is Know Your Onion. And again, some of these news stories, I'm telling you, they're just so insane. So insane. Sergeant Penis.
Agent
Penis. Agent. Sorry, Agent Penis. So, all right. All right. Okay, so we'll do it again. We'll do that again next week.
After the lightning, no one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder. Flying there under the sea.
Flipper. Man, Flipper. He's a dolphin. Flipper. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're going to be talking about your favorite tough guy movie characters, toughest movie characters of all time, both female and male. Who are the best, toughest movie characters of all time? Oh, by the way, Ed, we need you to call back.
Need your info, man.
Yeah, we got to get your info. So, let's get you to call back, Ed. 312-981-7200. And also, call us back. Call us if you want to jump in here on the toughest movie characters of all time. And we're gonna get to that. And I have a lot of favorites here. And this was put out, by the way, by Popular Mechanics. Popular Mechanics put this list together of the 40 toughest characters in movies. Here's Brian on WGN. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
One of my favorites, you know, biggest tough guy there is Roddy Piper in They Live.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best movie lines. You know, I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Yeah. That's such a great line.
he improvised that line.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
The next line is funny, too, because one of the aliens tries to tell call headquarters, whatever, and he looks at him and says, Mama, don't like no tattletales.
That's also just a great movie in general. But, yeah, Roddy Piper as John Nada. His name was John Nada in that movie.
I liked about it. It's like one of those movies where it's like you see people like get killed in movies. You're like, oh, that's too bad or whatever. But hey, it seemed like it was all right because they're aliens. You know, blow them all away.
Yeah. And there's nothing subtle about it. He just gets it. He puts on the sunglasses and goes, all right, I'm going to get a shotgun, just start blowing these people, blowing these aliens away.
It's still one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, it goes on forever. But let me ask you this. Brian, do you watch Barry on HBO?
No, I just saw that it came on, and I'm going to start watching it, though.
Because the episode that was two episodes ago, a week ago Sunday, features two of the longest fight scenes that you'll ever see, and it totally reminded me of They Live.
That's great.
Very cool.
With
all right, Brian.
Chicken. Yeah. With the tail again.
Thanks, Brian.
Hi, buddy.
There
no problem.
Go. Yeah, John Nada in They Live. So we've got Forrest Bondurant from Lawless, played by Tom Hardy. You could populate this list with just Tom Hardy characters. In Legend, he played twin gangsters who tore up London. In Bronson, his take on the titular serial killer was appropriately terrifying. Hell, even Bane in The Dark Knight Rises broke Batman's back and nearly detonated a nuke in Gotham City. But Forrest Bondurant in 2012's criminally underseen bootlegging thriller Lawless remains Hardy's most badass character. Known for being invincible, he survives a slit throat and multiple gunshots, as well as a fall through some thin ice, and deals with the perpetrators of crimes against him in 10 times as brutal fashion. Yeah, he's tough. He's tough. No question about it. Let's see. Tim the Cop. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
All right, what do you got?
My idol would be Kurt Russell in Tombstone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As Wyatt Earp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are so many badasses in that movie. That's like a checklist of badasses, that movie. I mean, you got Sam Elliott, you got Kurt Russell, you got Val Kilmer, you got Bill Paxton, you got Powers Booth, you got Michael Biehn. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
How that movie didn't get nominated? I don't think it got nominated. Val Kilmer's performance didn't get anything. I just can't figure that out.
Yeah, no, I mean, that movie, it was not a real big success when it first came out. It became it became more popular, and it got a cult following and a cult status as time went on.
When he interacts with Billy Bob Thornton in the bar scene when he takes over the Pharaoh table.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. Great, great, great stuff.
Great stuff.
All right, Tim, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
Okay, take care. There's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Hello. Hi. I've got you some old-time movie stars. Lee Marvin is probably the best of all. I'm thinking of The Big Heat. I was like 3 years old when I saw it, and I became a lifelong Lee Marvin fan.
Yeah.
And Broderick Crawford. I mean, the voice, the man, the bulk, everything about him.
Yeah, that's true. Broderick Crawford, sure.
And they both won Oscars as stars, and even though they started out with a lot of character parts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you wanted a woman, and I think probably the best one, the toughest, would be Barbara Stanwyck.
Right. I would say Barbara Stanwyck, you know, she played a lot of tough roles, and it was considered. I thought Barbara Stanwyck was a total badass. She's fantastic, no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, she'd likely kill you if kiss you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Paula, thanks.
Night.
Okay, take care. Tough movie characters. How about this? Next one here is Frank Lucas from American Gangster. Denzel Washington. He's a badass in that, but I think he's a bigger badass in Training Day than he is in American Gangster.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like American Gangster pretty well.
That's good.
But
it's
good. Adonis Creed from Creed. Michael B. Jordan. I'll tell you something, man. That's one of those movies that totally surprised me. Like, completely surprised me. It's a great movie. And I think Creed 2 is great, too. But I was just, like, I was kind of astonished by how much I liked. I think it's the second best Rocky movie. I think it goes Rocky and then Creed.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got love for, you know, Rocky 4 and 5. I mean, they're fun and everything, but in terms of quality.
My favorite of the stupid Rocky movies, and there are a lot of stupid Rocky movies, my favorite is Rocky 3.
Clubber Lang?
Come on, man. You got Clubber Lang, you got Hulk Hogan, Thunder Lips. There's like 27 fight scenes
Thunder
in it.
Thunder Lips.
27 fight scenes in it. Burgess Meredith gets killed. You know? But yeah, so they say Adonis Creed from Creed. Now here, this one, please. This is a little low on the list. It comes in at number 37 out of 40. This is too low. And I would imagine that you would agree with me on this. Vasquez from Aliens.
Oh.
37 is way too low.
Yeah, Vasquez is at, I would say high, like 30 at the very least.
At the very least. I mean, she's amazing.
Has anyone ever mistaken you for a man?
Yeah.
No?
Have you? Jeanette Goldstein, who came to Flashback one year, they had Lance Hendrickson and Jeanette Goldstein were there the same year, and it was just fantastic. She's really cool. She's very, very cool.
Yes. The only question I would ever ask her is if she regrets doing, like, playing a non-white character, despite being a white person.
Yeah.
But at this point, I really think,
well,
it's fine. It's in the past.
Well, she also came. So Tim Thomerson was also at that year at that convention. So they did a near dark reunion with Jeanette Goldstein, Tim Thomerson, and Lance Hendrickson, and then they screened Near Dark, and Lance introduced it. And she's fantastic in that movie.
Spectacular.
Yes.
She's a great actor.
Tremendous. And she gets killed really good in T2. Like, she's got one of the best deaths in T2.
Yeah. I always forget that's her.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's Sue on WGN. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I have to say that I think this was back about 1986. I was in high school at Road America in Wisconsin, racetrack there, and they had celebrities racing. Paul Newman was there racing his car number 33.
Yeah.
And got to meet him very briefly and got a picture. And I was like, just amazing. I mean, what we've got here is a failure to communicate.
Yeah.
Okay, that was really poorly said, but you know what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
That was just a really, really amazing and great memory there.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Sue.
Okay.
All right, yeah. He drove fast cars, Mr. Paul Newman. He was a tough guy. All right, we're going to break here. We got the news coming up, and then I want to hear from you guys some more here about the tough characters, your favorite movie tough characters in movies. 312-981-7200. We'll pick it right up after the news. Yeah! Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows at the with the opening bell at 5. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Any artist, any song, anything. Who requested that?
I'll give you one guess.
Ike.
There it is. Wanted to hear a little Kim Wilde.
Right. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about the toughest movie characters of all time. Popular Mechanics put together a list and an article about some of their favorite toughest characters, both male and female. And next on their list is Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas. That would be Joe Pesci's character from Goodfellas. Tough guy. Absolutely a tough guy. Next is James Bond.
Which one, though?
It just says he's more suave and sophisticated than brutish, but you have to be gritty to survive 24 world-saving missions over a half century in the field, right? The Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan's iterations of Bond don't register much on the toughness scale, but Sean Connery and especially Daniel Craig, who literally laughed naked in the face of torturers, more than make up for the difference. Yeah. I think the toughest of all James Bond is definitely Daniel Craig.
Yeah, 100%.
And also think George Lazenby was
he was a pretty tough guy.
I
think Timothy Dalton was pretty tough.
Oh yeah. Timothy Dalton.
He was an underrated Bond.
Yeah, he was. You're right. Next is Alejandro Gillick from Sicario. Oh man, Benicio del Toro.
Sicario.
Yeah, he's a badass in that movie.
Yeah, he goes for it.
Yeah, and I like the sequel. Not a lot of people like the sequel. I did.
There's a contingent. You're not alone.
Yeah.
I am not in that contingent.
Yeah.
But you're not alone.
I like Sicario, and I like the second one. I did. You got Marv from Sin City with Mickey Rourke. He plays a tough guy who looks like his face has been tenderized like a steak. Not a whole lot of makeup was needed for that. But it's, well, the way that Mickey Rourke looks nowadays.
Apologies to the Mickey Rourke fan club.
Yeah. Yeah, Sin City is actually one of the only Robert Rodriguez movies I like.
Oh, you're not a Desperado guy?
No.
Oh.
No. I admire what he did with that mariachi.
Sure.
But then the Once Upon a Time in Mexico was terrible.
Well, that jumped the shark.
And you know, I'm not a fan of the Tarantino vampire movie.
You don't like From Dusk Till Dawn? Mm-mm. Oh man, I love that. I love From Dusk Till Dawn.
I like Salma Hayek in it. I'm trying to think of his other movies. I like two of the Spy Kids movies a lot. A lot. I think it's the first two. I like the first two Spy Kids movies actually quite a bit. Second Sin City was terrible.
Yeah.
This Alita
Battle Angel.
Oh my god. So here's the thing though. I'm not crazy about his movies. I like him and I like his dedication to genre stuff. And I love El Rey. El Rey is a great network. Mm-hmm. A great network that does fantastic original programs and shows really cool movies. And his interviews with his interview series with directors, where it's just him talking to the directors, is terrific. I just don't like his movies very much. So,
well, at least, you know, that's good, though. That you're willing to be like, yeah, I get what he's doing.
Let me just say this.
I think he's cool.
I'm glad he exists. Okay?
I think that's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean? And I like what in principle what he does. I just don't think he's a very good filmmaker. All right, we're talking about the toughest characters in movies. Here's Glenn on WGN. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Mick. How are you doing?
All right.
The Bride.
Yeah, sure. Kill Bill.
Yeah. And, you know, James Bond, I got to throw out there David Niven's.
Well, I mean, that's
you know,
not really.
Who else can karate chop a cannonball in half?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. All right. Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. Have a nice morning.
Yeah. We got some texts coming in. 773 area code Yul Brenner and Magnificent Seven. We got another vote for 219 area code, another vote for Uma in Kill Bill. Jay says, hey, Nick, I admire the Steve McQueen character that he played, Sailor Holloman, in The Sand Pebbles. Tough guy. Yeah, that's true. 630 area code says, Alex Karras in Blazing Saddles, he punched a horse. That's Mongo. Mongo just pawn in Game of Life. Did you know, Tom, did you know that, you know Richard Pryor's got a writing credit on Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you aware of the stuff that he wrote for Blazing Saddles? A lot of people would think it would be the racial stuff.
No.
He wrote all the Mongo stuff.
He wrote...
all of the other stuff that confronts racism and all of the using the ridiculous amount of N-words that are used in it and all that stuff, you know, all of that not written by Pryor. Everybody assumed... Because originally Mel Brooks wanted Pryor to play the Cleavon Little role, and the studio wouldn't because he was, you know, obviously he was a very controversial, Pryor was a very controversial guy who lived a very controversial life and had some serious issues with substance abuses, as we obviously know, and they wouldn't sign off on him. The studio wouldn't sign off on him, so he didn't play the part, the Cleavon Little part. But yeah, he wrote most of the Mongo stuff. That was him. That was him. He wrote the line, Mongo just pawn in Game of Life. You know, who I love in that movie? David, wait a minute. The guy who played the Big Lebowski. Huddleston.
Yeah.
David Huddleston.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He's unbelievably funny in that movie. And his hatred of Howard Johnson is just hysterical. Like that, he's talking. Like at one point, they're in the bar. He's got some of the best lines in the movie. He's got the line about the Irish.
Forget all that stuff.
Yeah.
Here comes Mongo.
Yeah. Here Comes Mongo. And he also has, like, when they're at the town meeting, after Cleavon Little shows up in town, and they're at the town meeting, and Howard Johnson says, you know, who is it? Somebody said, from chaos comes order. And then David Huddleston sitting on the other side, he goes, oh, blow it out your ass, Howard. That's my favorite line in the whole movie.
My God.
And just the next time you watch that movie, just watch his reactions to any time that the Howard Johnson character speaks. It's unbelievably funny. Never mind that crap. Here Comes Mongo.
I got to give it to him for suggesting that as a tough guy.
Man, you want Mongo.
He punches a horse.
He knocks out a horse. And he holds like 30 guys captive behind a piano. He's like pushing them.
Oh my.
Oh my God. All right. Here is Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How you doing?
Morning, good.
Yeah, back in the mid-80s, I went to the Film Center, the Art Institute, and I saw the Hong Kong Festival recommended by David Kerr. And
you know, Mike, I probably saw you there.
And he blew me away in that scene where he's laying the guns down in the aisle. And
no, I was that I was probably you and I were probably in the same theater for that festival, because I was friends with Dave Kerr at that time, and I've told this story before. We were at a screening of Above the Law, and after the screening, we were waiting for the elevator, and Dave was standing next to me, and I was like, wow, that was really great, and he just looked at me, and he goes, two words, Hong Kong. And then he brought in some VHS tapes for me at the next screening, and I watched a bunch of them, including some John Woo and including some Sammo Hung and all those guys, and it just blew my mind. And I was at the festival at the Film Center, and yeah. Chow Yun Fat, Better Tomorrow, amazing.
And also Hard Boiled and The Killer, Better Tomorrow, that's what introduced me to that guy.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. He's the best.
I got an oldie for you, though.
Yeah.
James Cagney is Cody Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. White Heat?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. On top of the world. Look, Ma, on top of the world. It's amazing. All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
Yeah, okay. Take it easy, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard Boiled is the greatest action movie ever made.
I'd have to think about what my Fury Road for me.
Fury Road,
yeah.
I think, yeah, that's close. But the tea house shootout scene alone, it's
amazing. Hard Boiled also has that ridiculous hospital sequence. It's all one take where they go in the elevator and then come out and go down the hallway. I mean, it's amazing.
How they did that?
Yeah,
it's the same floor.
Yeah.
When that was revealed to me, I started worshiping John Woo.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
It's great stuff. And Chow Yun Fat is a total badass. There's no question about it. All right, we're talking about toughest movie characters ever. And if you want to jump in, we're here at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'll fly through the list that Popular Mechanics put together, and then you can add to the conversation. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 o'clock, and coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday! That's the last Wildcard Wednesday request. Who requested that?
That was Steve from Galesburg, wanted to hear The Knack, Baby Talks Dirty.
That's right. And again, we had the disturbing backstory to My Sharona, which makes that song sound creepy too. So we talked about that a little bit earlier this week. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text if you want to join us. We were talking about the toughest movie characters ever, and we got a couple of texts here. 815 area code. Brad Pitt was tough as coffin nails in Guy Ritchie's 2001 movie Snatch. He was a gypsy bare knuckle boxing champion. Yeah, he's great in that movie. He's the best. He's the best thing in that movie, as far as I'm concerned. I can't stand Guy Ritchie. I can't stand his movies. I can't stand him.
Do you like Dags?
The only one that I liked, some of it was Snatch, and it was because of Brad Pitt. He's the only thing in that movie that I really like.
I find I'm really not a fan of his later stuff, but Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch were pristine.
Yeah, no. No.
Tell me how you really feel. No.
I can't stand Guy Ritchie's movies. I really can't. But I thought Brad Pitt was hilarious in Snatch. 847 area code. Has anybody mentioned Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood? That's a good choice. That's a good choice. This person just woke up. So no, he hasn't been mentioned. You're the first to mention Daniel Day-Lewis in there. There will be blood. 269 area code. Oh, this is a good choice. The Winter Soldier. Sebastian Stan and Captain America Winter Soldier. Total badass. I totally agree. That's my favorite. I think that's I believe that's my favorite Marvel Universe movie is Winter Soldier.
It's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite. And I like the first Avengers is right up there too. But but yeah, that Winter Soldier. I was in Civil War is good too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that establishes the Russos,
yeah,
who would go on to do Infinity War, Endgame, and also it's like Christopher Markley and McFeely and Stephen McFeely who wrote that went on to write the latter two Avengers movies. So
right. I thought Winter Soldier was exceptional. I thought it was really really good. Another choice here for Brad Pitt as Tyler Durden in Fight Club.
True.
Yeah. On the Popular Mechanics, now we have Luke Hobbs from the Fast and the Furious series, played by The Rock. That new movie looks ridiculous.
I'm very injected into my veins. I'm ready.
Let's see. Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. That's Jennifer Lawrence. Mallory Caine from Haywire. Nobody saw Haywire. Six people saw that movie, and it's pretty terrific. Have you seen Haywire?
Multiple times.
Yeah. Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible, the movies. I totally agree with that. I love that series. I love that movie series. One of the few movie series that get better as they go along. The last one, Fallout, best of the series. Best of the series. Blew me away. And I love how dedicated he is to those movies. And, you know, breaking his ankle and doing all his own stunts. He's nuts. We got Han Solo is on the list. I would have to agree with that. And then followed by Indiana Jones. Oh, I like this. Coming in at number 20. Dr. Ryan Stone from Gravity, Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
I love that choice. She's so good in that movie. Oh, my God. Hugh Glass in The Revenant. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ate bear meat.
That scene with the bear, man, is just fantastic. Morpheus from The Matrix, total badass. Next, Brian Mills from the Taken series.
Yes.
I would just go the first one.
Those other two are terrible, and yet I watched them on the reg.
I've only seen them once. I've only seen the second two once.
Yeah.
And then he just started doing these variation movies where he's on different forms of transportation. Killing people. He's on a plane killing somebody. He was on a train.
Soon he'll be in an automobile, you know.
He was in the last movie he was in a snowplow.
Oh yeah. That was actually pretty good.
It was a good movie.
It was also
really funny. Like it was
like a parody of what he'd been
absolutely.
Doing. It's really good.
Yeah. Here's Steve on WGN. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Nick. I would like to suggest Lee Marvin from Emperor of the North, the story about the hobos, where he fights Ernest Borgnine.
Well, I mean, I think both of them are badasses in that. Ernest Borgnine's a total badass in that movie.
Yeah, oh yeah, man, that's an incredible film, and that fight looks almost real.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, that movie should be more of a classic than it's considered. Robert Aldridge directed that movie, and have you seen Emperor of the North, Tom? Have you seen Emperor of the North?
Yes.
It's a phenomenal movie, and it should be considered much more of a classic than it is. It's a work of genius as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, it's a great choice, Steve.
Yeah, Roger, how does that rank?
Sorry?
How does that rank? And
it's
like,
not. It's
Lee
not.
Marvin,
yeah, no, no, they're not ranked. That's a movie that nobody really remembers, man. That's the problem. That's the problem with it.
Which one of the Carradine brothers was it, David or Keith?
That was Keith.
Better scary guy is their father, John Carradine. He plays like a vampire or something in one movie.
John Carradine has been a ton of horror movies. That's where he got his start. So you had John, you had David, you had Keith. I told you the story of when I had Michael Madsen on my show, right?
Wait, you had Michael Madsen on your show?
Oh, I haven't told you the story?
No, but...
Okay, you're going to love this. Real quick, I'll tell it. Real quick. Michael Madsen no-showed on my show one time.
What?
No-showed. He was drunk. Missed the call. Then I had him back on. He was still hammered. It was a great interview, though. I had to hit the dump button because he said the F-bomb four times. And then, because, you know, it turned out to be such a hassle and crazy, and he no-showed, the publicist, I come into work one day, I go to my mailbox, and there's a big, long box, big, long, thin box with my address on it from the publicist. By way of apology for the two appearances, she got me an actual samurai sword signed by Michael Madsen and David Carradine. I'm not kidding.
I want to scream. I'm so jealous.
We got a break. News is coming up next. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for Triple Play Thursday and our buddy from The Hollywood Reporter to talk TV. We will chat with Dan Feinberg. That's all tomorrow.